the amended strategic plan for the community is being circulated. We've adopted it yesterday at Mancom. The reason for that is, one, is to ensure that it's in line with the new budget of Parliament. But secondly, we also made some changes to our program for the third and fourth quarter because we see that the legislation will come later, and we also taken the proposed study tour to late in the year, October, I think. Yeah, so there's a few changes, but if we just can go through that, we will just after the SAPS engagement deal with that. I don't know, is the other reports ready or not yet? Not yet, okay. So that's more or less our program. We're going to first get the briefing from the research units on the criminal justice system modernization, the docket system, management system, as well as the DNA Act amendments. Colleagues will remember that we usually get quarterly reports on that, written reports, but as a committee, we haven't really looked at it critically, and we thought it's important at this stage that we really get feel of what's the progress and the implications for the department. So, Nicolette, over to you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Good morning, honourable members. I'm just going to do, like Jefferson said, a quick presentation on the briefing of today. Members, the National Development Plan, or NDP, placed significant focus on the implementation of the recommendations of the Review of the South African Criminal Justice System, or CJS, through the CJS 7-point plan, which was adopted by Cabinet in 2007. And this process already started in 2005 because departments were working in silos within the cluster and with a little interaction. It was difficult to track individuals and information through the CJS system. The process was divided into the CJS and Integrated Justice System, IJS modernization, for which the funding has since been amalgamated into the CJS review and modernization. The implementation of projects under the Technology Management Services, or TMS, of the SAP has been a significant concern for the committee over the past couple of years. Honourable members should know that enormous amounts of resources have been allocated to the CJS. For the 2014-15 financial year alone, 1.1 billion rand was allocated to the CJS project. And it would be interesting to know the amount of money allocated to this project since its inception in 2007. The IGF project, such as PPM, LiveScan, and IVDMS, or eDocket, have not performed well, mostly due to its transitional nature, which means that it has many dependencies on other departments. Honourable members, in terms of monitoring and oversight, the committee in the 2012 RRR started to make specific recommendations regarding the reporting requirements on the CJS project. In 2013, the PC recommended that staff must submit detailed project plans to Treasury before funding is allocated. On this, the Minister of Finance accepted this recommendation and provided strict conditions on the CJS revamp project or program in its allocation because of the SAP for 2014 NDES period. It also stated that any to comply with conditions might lead to the withholding of funds and an in-year reduction of allocation of the CJS program, where spending is significantly lower than planned at the time of the adjusted budget, subject to Parliament approval. However, the CJS funding is no longer earmarked in the 2015 appropriations bill. Even though it's stated that it is earmarked, it is not stipulated within the appropriations bill, and membership established the reason for this not being in the appropriations bill. Honourable members, in the 2014 week for us, the committee recommended that quarterly reports should be submitted to the committee for the 14-15 year, and this should also be continued throughout the current financial year. In terms of the reporting by the staff, it's important to know that the manner in which the staff is reporting is not conducive to effective oversight. The approximately 70 technology projects running in relation to the CJS and IJS is very difficult to manage, and it's very easy to caught up in the details of individual projects. But as members know, that some projects have significant challenges and need close oversight, like the GEM and the e-dockers. The committee should request the staff to provide a broad strategic framework of the CJS and IJS projects and how that sees each of the CJS given point plan and how it actually benefits the criminal justice system. Basically, it's a basic approach that the committee could take. The expenditure against performance should be clearly stated by the PAPS, which is not currently done. There are significant inconsistencies in the reporting over the four quarters of 2014-15 financial year. Members, looking at the budget allocation and expenditure on the CJS and IJS projects, like I stated earlier, 1.14 billion rand was allocated in the 2014-15 financial year, of which 100% was spent. However, comparing the expenditure of the first quarter to the fourth quarter, it's clear that there are some questions to be asked. In terms of the CJS review, it received an allocation of 830 million over the year. In the third quarter, 50.5% was spent, and in the fourth quarter, 100% of the funding was spent. For the SAPS IJS and IJS transversal sub-programs, it was allocated a total of 330 million rand over the financial year. In the third quarter, only 43.2% was spent, and at the end of the fourth quarter, 99.9% of the allocation was spent. So members can see that there is really a huge jump from the third to the fourth quarter. And if you look at the total of the 1.14 billion allocation, at the end of the third quarter, only 48.4% was spent, and at the end of the fourth quarter, 100% of the allocation was spent. The first had a project review session on the 25th of November 2014, and also on the 21st of March 2015, during which the budget allocation for projects were adjusted significantly. And the staff should report on the outcome of this review session and also provide the reasons for the major shifting of funds. Honourable members, I will explain a bit more about the shifting of funds between the components of SAS. The SAS country has six components which is benefiting from the CJS and IJS funds. This is the Criminal Record Center, the Forensic Science Laboratory, Provincial Cluster and Police Stations, Detective Services, Visible Policing, and Protection and Security Services. Members can see on the right-hand side that funding has been shifted significantly. From the Criminal Record Center, there were downward adjustments of 109 million rand. For the Forensic Science Laboratories, there were upward adjustment of 55.1 million rand. For the Provincial Cluster and Police Stations, there were also upward adjustment of 61 million rand. And then for Detective Service, a downward adjustment of 6 million rand. And then for Visible Policing, a downward adjustment of 420,000 rand. And for Protection and Security Services, also a downward allocation of 473,000 rand. But it's important to also note that the total allocation remains unchanged over the financial year. The funds only shifted between the different components. As I've said, there's significant decreased allocation and increased allocation. For instance, the barcodes for stations projects, which is really not descriptive as to what is meant by barcodes for stations, whether it is a scanner or reader, the project was allocated 31 million additional funding for the 2014-15 financial year, which should be questioned in terms of whether members of the police are ready and trained to use this equipment and whether it will be stored in a warehouse until the members are ready and the DNA is fully implemented for the barcodes to be used. And also the percentage weighted milestones delivered is provided properly in the second quarter report. It is slightly adjusted in the third quarter report with some components omitted, and it is not provided in the fourth quarter. It is very important to know how these weights to the deliverables are measured or determined. And also, you must measure expenditure against performance to determine whether value for money was achieved. And without the performance milestone, it is very difficult to actually know whether the police has delivered what they set out to deliver and whether what the money was actually spent on. Then moving on to the investigative docket, case docket management system, or ICDS, or commonly known as e-docket. The administered case system was developed and ended on the 31st of May 2015, which means that the project is now completed. The project had an allocation of 85 million rand for the 14-15 financial year. In the first quarter, 6.1 million was spent. In the second quarter, 29.8 million. In the third quarter, 7.9 million. And in the fourth quarter, 6.1 million. Which might also be a concern as the expenditure increased significantly towards the end of the financial year. The investigative case project is now being implemented, and the deliverables for the first phase was identified. However, the staff should expand and elaborate more on these deliverables. This project had an allocation of 3.5 million, which was revised on the 21st of March 2015 to a zero allocation. And it is also unclear what has been allocated for the 15-16 financial beyond this, and members could ask the question, what's the allocation for the current financial year? In the second quarter on this project, 920,000 rand was spent, and in the third quarter, 2.2 million was spent. In the first and fourth quarter, nothing was spent, but they have 100% milestones achieved to date, and 150% weighted milestones delivered in quarter four, while spending no funds. And so members can also just request clarity on this. The system has been rolled out to 271 police stations since its inception, all for the past financial year, of which the bulk was in Western Cape and then in the Free State. However, it is very important for members to ask how these are linked to court, because if it's not linked to court, it's really not functioning properly. And also, in the past, there was a big reluctance from members of the police to use the new system, and members could ask that whether this reluctance has been addressed. Honourable members, in terms of the Criminal Law Forensic Procedure Amendment Act, or the DNA Act, it's not clear how far the steps are with implementation. Also, the funding for the implementation is quite unclear, but there are some pertinent questions that the members should ask. The first is whether the convicted offenders who are being released from prison, whether they are being sampled before release. To date, since the promulgation of the Act in January, no convicted offenders have been sampled. The second question, what is such action plan with regarding the rolling out of training and sampling, and how many members have been trained and how many samples taken to date? The third question is how many reference samples have been received at the forensic lab since January, and how many of these have been processed? The reference lane and criminal scene lanes set up for processing are not operational, which means that the capacity of the lab has been greatly diminished, as they only process and sample manually, and backlogs are already imminent. Fourthly, what is the challenge with the supply of DNA processing kits, which are used for processing samples? When do they expect this to be resolved, and when will the capacity increase? What is the current sampling capacity, and what is the future capacity? The fifth pertinent question, honourable members, is whether the batch is complying with the 30-day turnaround time provided for an active purpose sample to receive at the lab. Then what is the FCR chemistry that is being employed in DNA kits, and does the chemistry comply with best international practice? The seventh person question on the mail is what software solutions are being used to manage the database. The coded system was recommended by the previous parliamentary committee when dealing with the bill, but no decision has been taken to date and unclear what software that is currently using and should be clarified by the members. Also, how is SAP loading profiles onto the various indexes as per the Act, and how are they being expunged? And honourable members, finally, the SAP should provide a bit more detail on the composition of the DNA ethics board, who are these members, and whether it's been fully established now, and whether they are already meeting. Honourable members, that is the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole, for excellent presentation. Questions from members? Honourable Carabana.
Thank you so much, Adela, for the insight. Is there any indication why the decision was taken to move Brigadier General Shirji away from the DNA database? I mean, she really had it hopping, and I had such faith in her in that position, and suddenly found out she was moved. Do we have any indication why that happened? She seems to have the necessary expertise, and I'm very concerned that a project of this magnitude without her may stall.
Any other members? Yeah, members, in terms of the command and control of the criminal justice revamp process, it's split over different programs, but who is really responsible for that from the SAS? Who's the ultimate responsible manager to drive the process? Because it's just a concern. I'm picking up, you know, it's spread.
Any other questions for members?
Okay. Over to Nicole.
Thank you, I'm all stupid. On the bottom line, we don't have any explanation why it was shared with you. It could be a good question to get your own. Chairperson, in terms of the command and control of the role, CJF revamp is under the control of the CMF, the technology management system, and the head of that component should take ultimate responsibility for the CJF. However, the IJS projects are also located in the DMS, but they are several, and I would like to refer members to page 13 of my research analysis. It's got several IJS program management structures, IJS transversal sub-program management, IJS transversal architecture, IJS transversal operational and infrastructure development, and also transversal capacity development. Now, under these programs are managers, and also the CJF IJS board is coordinating the whole process. So I think for future engagements, we should also call the board to come to the committee.
Thank you. So did you have some meetings or
Thank you.
Right, I'm going to move this. We're going to start in 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Good morning, honourable members. Good morning, a national commissioner and a team from police management, and its representatives also from the secretariat, civil society, also from the DNA board. Thank you very much for coming to the police committee today. Maybe just again indicating members the program for today. Today we're going to focus the first part of the morning on briefing prospects on the criminal justice system modernization, integration, case docket management system, the Criminal Law Amendment Act, DNA Act, and related matters. And then the second part, we're just going to deal with our strategic plan as committee. It's just an update and also further align it to the new budget that was approved by Parliament. I don't think it will take long. We circulated yesterday and it's been made available to members. So that's more or less a program. I'm going to ask the members to introduce themselves, and then I'm going to ask the National Commissioner General Pierre to also introduce her team.
Yes. Morning, my name is Kimile Mola, a member of the Control Committee. Thank you.
Morning, Leonard Amatakan is my name, a member of the committee.
Morning, Lectuala, member of the committee.
Bachelone, Lala Santa Mapija, the one member of our committee.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Bachelin Bele, member of the committee.
Good morning, Shai Kolobana, Chair.
Morning, Albert Mulango, member of this committee.
Hello members, the local year ha, team.
My apologies. I was born before computers. With the team, we have Lieutenant General Pasani, who is the Divisional Commissioner for Forensic Services. If you could just indicate for those that don't know him. Thank you. We have Lieutenant General Shez, who is the Divisional Commissioner for Technology Management Services. I'm not sure whether Brigadier Pozzolo is already here. Brigadier Worker, Brigadier Joe Smith, Acting Head, Quality Management Forensic Services, Brigadier Portelius for Communication Services, Brigadier Pim Joe, Section Head, Crime Systems Infrastructure Management, Brigadier Pili, Section Head, Program Management Office, KMS. She's just too late, we apologize to you. Carol Wood, Section Commander, Management Information, Strategic Planning. Okay. And Chairperson, we have also Lieutenant Carol Stein from the Executive Secretariat. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, National Commissioner. We then invite yourself and the team to do the presentations. Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. To present to the committee, we, as you've indicated, there are about two or three things we're going to deal with. We're starting with the CJS progress, and to do that, I'm going to ask the Lieutenant General Shazi, who is the head of technology management, to walk us through the progress we have made in this regard. And I'd like to say, overall, while there could still be challenges here and there, we seem to be matching well with the plan that we have shared and presented to this committee. General Shazi.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Honorable Chair, good morning, honorable members. I'm going to start with the CJS presentation as it is applicable from the technology management side. Chair, you would take note that from quarter one to quarter four, or rather let me place it like this, that every quarter we have made to the committee the progress with regard to the expenditure of funds as they are allocated to the TMS environment or the support of technology within the CJS 7-point plan. As a result, at the end of each quarter, we did submit the report to the committee that will then tell the extent of performance versus the expenditure. What the committee will see this morning, as we do the CJS, as well as the IJS is coming forth, you shall see that we've placed the performance of each quarter as a presentation. I take note that will be a follow-up session sometime in September where performance in context will be presented. But today is mainly the focus on quarter four. However, it is good to relate to the individualized quarterly performances for the remainder of the financial year. So for this slide, it gives the background share on the total allocation to the CJS for 2014-15 for the Division of Technology Management. We had in total allocation of 813,544,000. Let me just get my point. We had in total 813,544,000, which we then broke down into the pay quarters. What we did, let me give a background so that I don't talk to you every time we come to a slide. When we did the allocations or the apportionments pay quarter, we had a look at two various issues that would inform or that would impact on performance. One was the availability of the contract or a procurement vehicle or a procurement mechanism from which we were going to derive the services that we had needed. So it meant if we knew that the bid is in process, in quarter one, for instance, we knew it is highly unlikely that it was going to be finalized in quarter one. We would then determine, as per the engagements of the different environments, and what is the latest stage in which that bid was going to be available for utilization. Then we would then say, although there is an allocation for this financial year, we won't be able to actualize the expenditure within quarter one in terms of the bid process. Then actualization of that will happen perhaps in quarter three. That's how we are approaching this. So during the course of the financial year, as we take on the progress of the bids, when they come into place, we say, are we still in a position to deliver according to our plan? If at any stage we realize that we are not going to deliver because of the various dynamics, then we have to reprioritize within the same CJS plans to say, what is it that we can do in this financial year that we can see from the maybe the next financial year that we had planned to do? So some of the work will be brought forward, some of the work will be taken off, but it will of course be within the project as it is determined. So that's a little bit of a background that I thought would assist in terms of how we then utilize it. So in this instance, we had then made the breakdown in this instance. We said for quarter one, we will be able to spend 49 million of the total 813. For quarter two, 134. quarter 3 to 90, and then for the last quarter, then they said 402 because of those number of deliverables. This was the training that we did at the beginning of the financial year, having considered all those aspects. The next slide, please. And the best one, we then talk to each of the components of the CJS. From the CMS environment, we've got six components of the CJS, which starts from the CR, it ends right at the PPS environment, which you will see because we're going to go through all of them. Quite a number of slides. I'm going to be speaking a little bit faster, but so that we catch up on all of them, but I'm not going to miss the critical details so that the members are all on par with them. The focus, though, will be particularly for quarter four here, because it is in quarter four that this presentation is being made. Though it will then, in many instances, revert back to show what were the performances in the previous quarters. As an overall, as the first speaker, we allocated 301 million, the 311 rather, million for use at a criminal record center. The criminal record is one of the components with the Division of Forensic Services because the bulk of the CJS funds are focused in supporting the work that is happening in the forensic services environment. So the 311 is only the amount that was targeted for criminal record, which was from the 3rd of April allocated as 311. With the background that I had given here, at the end of the second quarter, we saw there was no way that we were going to spend the 311 million for various reasons. As you go down the presentation, I will show you what informed the reallocation. We had done that, and then we said, can we reprioritize this funding according to the projects that will add value as per scope for the entire project? We then reapportioned it. We embarked on a process called a change request. It is a formal process where we must apply for the reallocation of funds, which must be authorized before we do that. So that once it is approved, and then we can be given the go-ahead to reprioritize the funds accordingly. So that process was followed. We were given the authority so that we could reallocate the funding, move from 311 million to 202 million. The next slide, please. I'm now going to talk to each of the projects within the CRC environment, which led to the allocation of the 311 million revised to the 200 almost. This is the eighth bit, the automated fingerprint identification replacement project. We, the forensic environment, has reached a stage where AFIS is at the point where it has to be renewed or completely upgraded. To do that process, we have embarked on an open process to say, can we see if there is a better mechanism that is available out there to can provide us a better service on the AFIS program. And then we had gone to do an advertisement on an open-based process through the CETA to do the replacement or upgrade of the AFIS software, AFIS database. The AFIS is that database that is used to check the latent prints, or the prints that are found from a crime scene, and then we can be comparing them via the harness system of Home Affairs to determine who the owner of the prints are. So this process was embarked on, Chair. It has been 18 months that this process is going between back and forth in CEDA. We haven't had the finalization of this project yet. Chair would remember when we appeared before the committee on the 11th of March, amongst other things that we raised as concerns were projects such as these. So this is one of the projects that is impacted. We had scored that 30 million was going to be spent in this period, but because of those dynamics, we couldn't spend the 30 million. We had to reprioritize the 30 million because the AFIS project did not happen.
Intervene, but I just want to maybe jump here. Is that the frustration you expressed on the 11th of March regarding CETA as not, you know, effective vehicle to enable you to deliver on the project? Is that really the story you're telling here?
That is really part of the story, Chair, because remember, it's a legislative process. There are things we must procure through CETA, there are things we may procure through CETA, so those must are really mustering us, because when the must like this one, we must wait for them to be able to finish the process, and it's a process we have no control about. We will do all our needs, submit our RFPs, then the whole process is in their hands. At times they can cancel the thing for over a period of 4 years, going back and forth, and we as a department cannot do much. We at times try and plead with them to say allow us, even though it is a must to run the process, but it's a very difficult process, Chair, I must say.
Thank you, Chair. The next slide, please, Kim. This is some of the other things that we say. What did they do then in the process? Because what was important for us was to highlight that even if there was no expenditure or even if there was no money work that is done necessarily, what did you do, you know, in the process to set it up? So other slides like these ones will indicate the work that was done. So in this process, we had determined for ourselves that we need to conclude a bid before the end of quarter two of the previous financial year, of course we didn't achieve it at the end of quarter two, but these are the requirements we defined. And it's these specifications were provided in the format that CETA had wanted. The client has signed off on the forensic science environment, so this is why our challenge. So the specifications are ready, the specifications were verified, but we haven't had the progress to date. The next slide, please, Kevin. This portion talks to the maintenance portion. While the bid process is in place, while the bid process is going on, the question is, what are you doing with the current system? So the current system also has to be maintained. So we have contracts also on maintenance. We cannot utilize the same maintenance contract perpetually without it also being renewed. You would realize, Chair, at quarter one, there was no expenditure in that regard. There was no also plan that was focused because we didn't have a specified mechanism for the maintenance of the current PKM, I mean, of the current AFIS. What we did a month-to-month maintenance service, which also had to be approved through the supply chain processes, which process was though finalized. You would realize that when we came to quarter two, and quarter three, and quarter four, we had to also go up and then make up all the payments that we do for the processes of maintenance. So this process has happened according to plan. We managed to spend the budget as we had allocated it. You will see, Chair, at the beginning we had allocated 20 million for this project, but having considered the processes and the areas where maintenance was going to be focused, so we had a saving realized in the process. So we had overly estimated, if I want to use that word, but with the final allocation, having received the proper quotations in terms of the maintenance that was to be there, we had a reduced funding, which was at 15 million, which 15 million we were able to achieve. When we check out that 3 and 4, and we add an 8 and a 9, we see that it's almost about 17 million, a little bit of over expenditure in that instance, because the savings were not there to be got. The quotation that we got, according to the level of service that we had estimated the figure of 20 million or 15 million, but it was just a little bit overpowered, still within the first allocation as we had anticipated. So we were here with the maintenance process there. Maintenance is happening in a defensive environment. They are not currently impacted, but then if we are not going to continue with the bid process, it would then imply the maintenance contract that I had for this service, I also need to embark on the process to extend it further until there is a new process in place.
This is in effect staying on the whole system still to keep it in place.
Thank you, Shane. The next slide, please, Kevin. Oh, this is almost the reply I have already given. What I will do is as I go to the finances, I will say also what achievements we have obtained to keep it up to the next one. Okay. This one is tough to the decentralization, Chair. You would take note of the expansion process within the forensic environment. At the point where General Tassani will do the presentation, also he'll highlight those entry areas where the services for the forensics are decentralized to and what is our role then in supporting the decentralization process. These ones have to impact on two areas. Is it Gomshang and I think it's Freiburg, I'll just recall now on the station, but it is on the next slide, where we have decentralized the services. And then that decentralization already happened in the third quarter. We were on par with that. We were able to support the environment. And then we reached our spend as it was anticipated. It's a lost station in Gomshang, a chairperson will see that it's fully achieved. The automatic fingerprint capabilities were decentralized to those environments, enabling the fingerprint search for cases. Thank you. This one was the replacement of stolen equipment at the provincial LCRC, the Prince and Freiburg. In the previous financial year, it's during one of the presentations that was made from the forensics, and the court was given of the losses that had occurred in the three environments. But every time there is a loss, there is a subsequent equivalent replacement that also needs to take place. We were to replace the systems so that we lost as a result of it, and this was also done from quarter two and was concluded in quarter three. This one is the end-user equipment for the newly appointed member of the CR. Chair would also realize that we have allocated the 11 million. What happens in the environment is when there is a need for equipment, we would then say, where is it going to be distributed and who will be the people that will be allocated the equipment to? Then we would then get the list and then we'll go on and then we can procure based on the information that we have. Not only do we look at the needs, we also look at the processes of how or how much of what equipment did we procure in the previous financial years or in the previous quarters that hasn't been utilized as much. You would see that at the end of the financial year, we could only procure for 4 million or 4.8 million and not for the remainder of the 11 million. Because what we transpired when we do the stock, we realize that we have equipment that we procure that we haven't enabled in the environment yet. So we will see that in many instances, we will buy equipment, we will take it to an environment, in this instance forensics. It is still the responsibility of TMS to ensure that that equipment is connected to the network, it is worked, the process of webbing and prepping to take stock of the equipment is finalized. When we took our stock, we took note that we did not roll up all the equipment. Among other things, there are also services that are provided in terms of the connection to the network, which vehicle we also didn't have. So what we did, we would utilize the personnel that we have to assist with the rollout of the process. So when we procure the equipment at this quarter, we said, we're not going to procure for the entire 11 million. We will only procure for the 4.8 million to ensure that what we have procured, we are able to roll out. Unlike procuring a lot of bulk equipment and not being able to utilize it, and then we are stuck with equipment that is on source that we are not able to roll out. So as a result, at the end of the financial year, the end of quarter four, we had only procured equipment to value 4.8 and not for the rest of the 11.6 for the reasons given. We would not procure more than we were able to service in the environment. We are weary of losses, Chair. In the previous session, the National Commission was talking to the stock and the equipment that is being procured, and also the committee in many instances highlighted the equipment that you found not being connected to this to the system. This is among other reasons why we procure less than to accommodate the easing up the processes in those respects. Okay, we can take the next one, okay. This one has got to do with audiovisual conferencing. In many instances where the Regional Commission has got to also do the connect or the provinces when they've got to speak to the national offices, we are trying to get processes made greener and faster. So we had to procure the services for the Black Development Environment in the video conferencing aspect. We were able to deliver on that service also at the end of the conference. Just go back, Kevin, let me just talk to those ones where they were, these particular video conferencing, these were designed particularly to the Western Cape offices, where it is two of them, and two in the Gauteng LCRC commercial offices. This one is electronic planning drawing software. This is a software that is used by members of the crisis as they attend to the crisis countrywide. It enables them or assists them in completing all those drones while they're at the scene of crime. This is one of the specifications, Chair, I think in a list of about five, which has been that delay within our supply chain sector processes of advertising. It's one of the must services that the General has said, highlighted, but this electronic plan is almost finalized to be published right now because all the inputs have been given according to the reports that we got for CETA following the meeting we had with the committee. This one is a facial compilation, in the previous sitting with CETA, I think one of the honorable members had inquired from CETA about this particular process and about the delays. This process has already been finalized in terms of the lead advertisement process. As we were coming to the sessions yesterday, we actually also got the request from CETA to send experts to go and do the evaluation. So the bid has already closed. The process is now in evaluation. We will be able to utilize the funding in the next financial year to roll out the process, but the funds in this instance were reallocated to our project. You will see in all the instances where there are savings, we had worked out on all the savings, and I will tell you towards the end, as it's reflected on the slide, where the savings went to. Because we will take note, Chair, that in many instances, I shall have allocated 11 million, like in the case of the end user, I only utilized 4 million. Your question would be, what happened to the 7 million? I will talk to the end, at the end of it, where all those savings amount went to. Okay. The next one is This one is the biometric enhancement solution chair. These are equipment that are used in the countries by the criminal record experts as well. At any point during, you know, the weather conditions or daytime conditions, if it is at night, if it is raining, if it is cloudy like today, they enhance the latent prints in the crime scene. So these are the devices or equipment that are utilized to enhance the prints that are left at the scene of crime. This process also, because we had a vacant place at the time, we had allocated the expenditure to be broken down into those three processes. There were, you know, undue delays that had happened in the interim, but we did manage to be on board and make up for the delays that we had experienced during those time. You will see a chair in this instance as well, that the first allocation was at the amount at 120. It was reprioritized and the final allocation was at 158 million. As you go through the expenditure there, you will realize that we did finally make for the final allocation. This one talks to the additional devices. It's just additional. It is the same as the enhancement processes outside of those ones that we hold at that level, which we disseminated. I think these ones went to the Limpopo environment where the need was prioritized for that environment. We had just separated this thing just because of the score, but in essence it could have been with the other slide backwards, but this is for the same solution. Makadu. Yes. Okay, this one, are the cameras that are used for digital capturing, the panoramic image capturing devices. These are the cameras that are used at crime scene to take a 360-degree angle of what is happening at crime scene. There is a bit of a challenge with this big process. I think Chana Pasan would be better previewed to talk about this one, because this is managed currently from the Forest and Environment. The bid was awarded in this instance, but we haven't utilized it as yet for various other reasons. I think when you do the presentation, if it's okay, he might then talk to this particular panoramic one. The next one, okay. This particular one refers to the allocation that was made for HANES system. HANES is the database that it's the Home Affairs for Population Register. We utilize HANES a lot to find the identity of a person from whom we got the latent print at the crime scene. So it means we have an integration system from ACES that we have and talk to HANES. From HANES draw the details of the individual whose prints were left from the crime scene, be it a South African individual, be it a foreign national, if the prints are there on the database, we are utilizing this system. But at some point during the discussion in the IJS board, Department of Home Affairs had highlighted that they cannot replace or they cannot provide the searches for all prints. Currently, we can only search for four prints, the four that have indicated. They are looking to search at all 10 P's because it's not always that when the crime scene is beside the crime scene that they will get these fingers. They might get other fingers. But for those things that are not there within the HANES database, we then cannot provide identity from this record. So what we had requested was that HANES be upgraded so that we are able to get searches out of the 10 prints. Now, the Department of Home Affairs had placed it to say, they may not upgrade HANES because it is not their need, it is the staff need. If it is a staff need, we then have to upgrade so that they are able to utilize. On the basis, that's why you would see that we had allocated 62 million in value for the purposes that HANES is upgraded so that forensics is able to use HANES. So in the course of the year, you will see that in the original allocation, that 62 million was spread into quarter 3 and quarter 4 according to the report that the chair had received previously, not to the final allocation that was made. Then the spread is not indicated now for where it was supposed to have been, but we did not now, at the end of the final allocation, provide any 62 million because the need of Department of Home Affairs changed from 62 million to 714 million. The department then said that they do not have sufficient funding, if their hardware components are off, their software components are off. If you want to do those sessions, it means you must assist them, upgrade the entire system of HANES. Those discussions are currently on the table. The National Treasurer take note of the discussions. We have determined that we will provide a 62 million at the last discussion of the IGS board. Departments were also requested because they are also going to be utilizing them like transport for images and all those detections. The HANES system, so you will see in the next part how the other departments are going to be assisting in the allocation. But from the government's part, now. We could then not be able to spend the 62 million because the 62 million was less than 10% of the total bill that they then requested at the end of the towards the end of the financial year, which was not necessarily what they had previously highlighted at the beginning. At the beginning, they did indicate about 60 million. We provided 62 million, 2 million more, but at the end, it was not what they were looking for.
Maybe it's also from my side. I've been on slide 26, but the pattern is, and maybe that's a question to the National Commissioner, it seems a lot of these projects are vital for us to improve the fight against crime from a technological point of view in terms of forensics. We're all midway, we're not there, we can't start because of Home Affairs or CETA. I will, you know, my concern is just judging from where we are now, and we'll continue, but what alternatives can we put on the table to ensure that we, you know, jumpstart these projects? Because it affects, you know, the ability of the police in terms of convictions, you know, arresting people. I'm just worried about that, you know, aspect. If you can just get a comment on that, Honourable Bailey, if you can.
Thank you, Chair. It's just a question. It's just a quick clarification on this slide, because I don't want to lose it. I just want to understand the sequence in terms of this issue. Was it that SAPS was going to contribute to a pot of funds for Home Affairs to upgrade HUNS, or was this 62 million for SAPS to do something with their own systems that would interact with the Home Affairs system, and so because Home Affairs couldn't do their bit first, SAPS couldn't spend the money, or did Home Affairs request a large amount from SAPS, as you were saying, from 62 to 700 odd billion, to go into a collective budget that other departments were going to contribute to? I just want to understand, yeah.
National Commissioner and the team.
Chairperson, let me start off by saying, it's a CJ as we're looking at an integrated system among the other departments. So those dependencies are there and alive. And it is a reality also that we are not moving at the same pace, all of us at the same time. And this is why the CJS board becomes a very crucial aspect. I must say at a JCPS cluster, as DGs, we have profiled the role and function of the CJS board very high. They now come to account to us because we want to look each other in the eye and make sure that we unlock our processes within our departments. And you would recall that at some point there was no clarity or it wasn't well designed where the board is reporting. They have now been migrated fully to the Department of Justice. They are located there. All the, what shall I call them, transversal systems that we were also babysitting as such have been migrated to the board. And I would like to say to you, Chair, whereas there appear to be this cloggy processes, I'm of the opinion that we are making some inroads into it. In the participation of Treasury, because at the JCP cluster, they do come and we look at the finances to say, we committed finances, where are they, what is happening. It's a process that, for me, says if we keep focus on it, we will be able to unlock the processes. And I would also encourage Chair that if it is of any value to the committee, to invite the Chair of the CJS to come and share with the committee some of the re-engineering processes that we're busy with, where we're looking at dealing with these dependencies that are very, very problematic. I'm sure my colleagues will talk to the harness and our ALIS system. I think what maybe on a general basis I would like to mention is that remember that this whole issue of fingerprints, we keep only the criminal-based fingerprints. Home Affairs keeps everything. And we are saying it is necessary to connect the two so that when we are not able to track and trace many criminals in terms of our existing already recorded criminal fingerprints, we should also be able to check whether they are documented in the Home Affairs system. And Home Affairs has their own system, which is HANES, we had our own system. And the issue was, how do we interface the two systems? The 62 million was geared towards creating those abilities to interface the two systems. But General Shetty has also mentioned something else. The four, this has the five fingers. So there are processes that are saying we need much more than what others can do now. We need to look at the need for maybe the 10 fingers. So there are more, you know, issues to be written into this process. So the rescoping of 740 million is when we are starting today. If we are going that far, no longer just looking at the interfacing, what else is required? And this is the engagement that TMS, FSL, Treasury, Home Affairs, the CJS, RJS boards are now looking into to see, is it the correct scoping? Are there other things that we should be looking into in order to make this happen? Let me allow General Shezi and General Patani to respond.
Thanks, General. Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Maybe let's draw a line. First, the AFIS is specific. That's where General Shezi spoke about the bit, which whose specifications have been compiled and are now sitting on SPIDA. That is mainly to refresh our own capabilities internally. Then comes the harness pattern. In terms of the F, we as the police are supposed to be having access into the harness system, the population register, because not everyone, not every citizen will be on our database, because our database is only housing those with records or those with pending records. So for the purposes of identification, it is important that if we are not able to identify a person from our system, we should be able to access the Home Affairs system. Let me upfront say that while integration as required by the law has not realized, there is a mechanism in place to make sure that we do access the system. Thus, if one looks at the unfortunate incident in Nigeria, Lagos, we were able to identify South African nationals who are not on the criminal database, identify them through the Home Affairs database. Now, initially, this is what escalated the cost. Initially, we were made to understand that there is no funds within the baselines of Home Affairs for integration purposes. So an amount was put forward, which was something like 340 million. There was then a commitment from our side, since it is a burning issue for us, to redirect funds from the CJS to make sure that we are able to fulfill the obligations. But in the process of doing so, we were receiving quotations from Home Affairs, which quotations were not coming at the beginning of a financial year. They would always be coming somewhere in the middle. And our calculations suggested that we could not have allocated at any point the total 340 million, since it was not going to be consumed in that particular financial year. The second challenge was that Home Affairs Harness System contract was nearing end of life. So the question then was, how are you going to go about in expending those funds while it is not provided for in the initial contract? At the point where we were saying that we are now getting somewhere in terms of which vehicle to use, because from Home Affairs side, there was an understanding that the contract has now been renewed. At that point, then Home Affairs presented an issue to us to say, it is going to be very difficult to continue with integration with the current infrastructure of the harness. That infrastructure of harness has reached end of life. So they needed to do a refresh, you know, with put new equipment and software for it to be able to accommodate the integration. That is why, Chair, where the escalation came from 340, where only we would have provided 62 million. I think in the previous financial year, we had committed something like 152 million, which they did not spend. And this year, we were saying they could be 62 million. They did not spend. And then came when they said 780 million for collection check. And that money will simply not be accommodated within our budget. That is where we had to engage Treasury. And Treasury's question is, if this is about the refresh of the harness, why are those funds not made available within the baseline budget of Home Affairs? Because in any event, like we do budget for our ACs and so on, the refresh, they are supposed to be doing the same. So that's where I think the money issue and lack of commendable progress is coming. But what we have done from our side, together with Home Affairs, was to deploy our own resources in Home Affairs so that when there are searches, we are able to do the search and that we are not at all disadvantaged. But first price will be to have that integration so that you can access that system from a point. And it is important that it is never intended from Home Affairs to have access to our system, because our system houses criminal records. Only us can host and access the records. It is more for us to ensure access into the population register. And General Shady has spoken about the 10 prints, because at this stage, when you go for your ID, they do take the prints, but they are not all active. Because for identification purposes, they only use four fingers. So not all are 10 are active. We will want a situation where we are now making the 10 active so that they could be searched from the system point of view. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The next slide in. Okay, this one also talks to the decentralization of duties, which projects also materialize at the end of quarter four, so we have to reallocate it. The funds, given the delays, the processes that were associated with the judicial system, but we are able now to roll out. I think by the end of quarter two, we shall have concluded all the decentralization of duties as it is required. And the next one, please, sir. That slide considers the project that are within the criminal record space. This slide will talk to the slides that are within the forensic science laboratory space. The chair will take note that as of the rest of April, we had 396 million scope for the forensic environment, but at the end, we had a bit more, 451, that was now rerouted, you know, into the forensic environment. You will take note, Chairperson, that on the previous slide we had taken about 30 million, which amongst which was now rerouted for utilization within the forensic environment. Like I said, Chair, there are processes or projects that we know must be considered within both the environments. We prioritize projects based on their current need, their agencies, amongst other things, so that we attempt those that are priority first, and then we do the rest of them as the progress entails. But in those instances where we fail on the one, we then prioritize the project that could have happened next, the following financial year, we do it in this financial year, and then we reshuffle almost accordingly. So this is just a summary. Instead of us having utilized 396, we used an additional 55 million. And I will also show where the additionals went to. Okay, this one is the ballistic interface unit capabilities. This is the software that is utilized to determine, among other things, the speed of bullets that they were fired from the scene or by the person who must have committed murder, attempted murder, or utilization of firearm in the committed
And this is the renewal of the process of the software or the contract of the ballistic interface, as it is provided for some or most of these systems, Chairperson, are provided by specific or whole suppliers. We are in the process, as we determined with the previous discussions with CSIR, in some of the instances with building capacity that we do from the subside, the maintenance of these systems. But to most of them, I'm not talking particularly with these ones, we do not have the source codes or the capabilities to can be programmed. So our own analyst does maintenance or troubleshooting to a point where they can do it, but not beyond. So where the beyond processes are needed, that's when we go out and then we seek the expertise of the code holders of these facilities. Okay, but the basic interface was concluded. It's a savings also, Chair. This one is the AIS system. The same way as the AFIS, this one is the ballistics identification system. This one is to identify the cartridges. Each firearm also has its own unique identity. When the firearm, the shot is fired from each firearm, it will talk to a particular firearm that has fired that shot. It's almost like a fingerprint of bullets and cartridges. This is the system that does the process. So this system also was delayed. It was amongst those like AFIS that took 18 months to process. We at least got finalization of this in January of this financial year when all the processes related and concluded. As part of the system, we were doing the maintenance on the existing system until the new bid was in place. So we are happy to have had the signing off of the bid. So this is also a refresh, almost like a complete upgrade of the current AVIS system. Well, this is functional and we're happy to report progress that what could have been lost at the time that we're in was able to be recovered. Albeit it was almost at the dangerous levels, but we were able to provide it. In the end of the quarter one, we shall have almost done what we could have already done. We will achieve more of these instances. The delay is from the forensic side. The more the delay it is from our TMS side, the direct impact it has on their processing of cases. Because if you can only handle a certain capacity if the system is not refreshed. Because if you then push it a little bit far higher, you run a risk of collapsing the system. So if there were delayed experience in the ICE identification, for example, due to the bill as a result of the delays of the system to be in place. But I may be also saying that now that it's been refreshed, you also see probably possibly the increased output that is beginning to be realized in the environment. So we were able to spend those. We had allocated 60 million at the beginning, Chair, but given the extent of which the delay had impacted even on the CDIX of the system is a Canadian system, so we had to pay even extra funds as a result, 32 million more than we would have if we had procured at the right time. Okay, the next one. The next one, please. And this one is the maintenance part. Also, Chairperson, I had already reported, you would have spoken on the previous slide that we hadn't reflected the maintenance of the AVIS before the renewal process. We did that in Gota 1. We were supposed to have done that in Gota 1. We did not realize it in Gota 1, but we had then did the payments in Gota 2. In many instances, we might have scoped the money to happen in Gota 1. We only pay for the services that we rendered. So at times the payment was not on time to have been delivered in quarter one. So it would have then been delivered in quarter two, but it doesn't mean the work was done in quarter two. It might have been that work was also done just prior to the time that it was reported. Thanks, Kevin. This one is the CCTV and the access control. Okay, this comes a long way. The committee took note of all the what had led to the procurement of the CCTVs for the environment on the first instance. At the time that the visit was made in 2010 and the subsequent visits that were made, a concern was raised on the areas where exhibits were kept. We take note that from the forensic environment, all drugs get to be archived there, precious metals, diamonds, gold, whatever that is recovered from the scenes. So it is always critical to have those places safeguarded. And amongst other things that the committee had raised at that point was the need for these services, which services are now the services that are reflected here. The process might have taken longer than it was anticipated, but at least we are at the point where we are able to be delivering on this service. We are supposed to have concluded this process, Chair, in quarter three already, not even quarter four, as we are project plans. But when that advertisement was made for the installation of CCTV camera, because of the sensitivities of the areas, we did not open up the areas to all bidders. We only made access to the persons or the companies that won the final process, so that while we took them into the environment and they are able to go and physically see where all these bidders were, then they could do their proper layout. It was on those processes where it became evident that we had not considered the areas which were to be refurbished, to be used as server rooms, to be used for enough electrical supplies, where air conditioners and so forth, which then impacted on the conclusion of this on time, because then it involved the PWD process, and PWD had got to come on board, assess the refurbishment of the buildings, and the process can take just so long. This process was concluded only in March, March, I think it was the 31st, the last date of the financial year. We do not have approval for the refurbishment. The PWD people have already done an assessment. We are anticipating that the process will be concluded at the latest end of quarter two. Oh,
Add on what General Sheji is saying, it is important to know that there were some sites where we had serious dependencies from DPW, because if you take Weben and Springs, it is sites that were prioritized, where equipment has already been bought. But we cannot go and deploy that equipment in the building which is leased, where the contract is left with a year to end. So we first need to make sure that there is a renewal process in as far as the lease is concerned. So that itself may impact on that second quarter's achievement, because already we know that the mid-bank building, we are moving from one building to the other. And in the Springs building, there is some negotiation with the landlord, first to permit us to deploy, because it is not a state-owned building. So I just thought I need to make that visible at this point.
Thank you, Reza. You will see on the slide that is showing, slide number 39, that's almost the second last bullet there, that we saw with those. At times we are delayed by the approval of those lease agreements, you know, for the installation, because like General has already spoken to the SARC with Bengal, we also almost have the same conditions for Springs as well as General Pitiger in Pretoria CBD. Our challenge is, it is difficult to deploy a solution and do the refurbishments on the building that tomorrow we might be put to vacate. And unless we have that authorization in writing and the duration of the time in which that the building will be made available, then can we do kind of some structural changes, because some of these things would need this structural change. So these then impact on the finalization of projects. General Kassan is correct to be saying, though we anticipate that we will conclude quarter two, if by quarter two or quarter one, maybe in end of June, we still don't have the approval from EPW, it makes us mean I have to either reroute those cameras to another building where they are needed. You know, now I'm only taking out Springs and this thing out of the picture to somewhere else, because I have to deploy. Now they are no longer priority sites that I'll be deploying to now. The priority sites are now a problem. So it's always a challenge to place nicely on how you fight, but it is on track on what happened when. Thanks for the next one. This one, it says, how to end user equipment or the forensic science laboratory. The same thing we have the Delta, the criminal record site, and all other departments you see when you talk to detectives as well. Unless we know where to whom the equipment is designed to, we may not roll it out, because we're trying to reduce the expenditure on end user equipment. The chairperson made an alert, one of the things that he requested National Commissioner to look in the previous time when we made the submission was, we must have a look at our budget to say that towards the end, most of the funding is directed to end-user equipment. Can it be explained and so forth? So among other mitigating factors is that process to say, if I get a request for equipment, where is the equipment destined to? What happened to the equipment that was there initially? Is it broken? If it is broken, what was the process followed to report on losses or the breaking and so forth? So that's how you will also take note that in instances where you would want to spend more, but unless more is defined, more cannot be spent. But in this particular one, sir, you would also take note that we are just almost on par with the spending. We didn't go just beyond what we were meant to do, but the thing is, we have been redirected to other projects since in the forensics environment. For the rest of the chair, we wouldn't necessarily move France funds out of the division. If the fund was meant for detectives, it's moving from a project, it's a project within detectives and not within detectives to another division. So that we are addressing what was the focus areas on the modernization of that environment for CJA purposes. Okay, then stand, Kevin. These ones are the barcode printers for the RLA. The person will take note that they are barcode printers and barcode scanners. The process might have happened almost at the same time for the RLA. Amongst other requirements of the DNA Act implementation, you take note that we were to provide an enabling mechanism for forensic environment to be able to process cases faster. To avoid the perceived wrong capturing of data from the information that shall be provided into the labs, to try as much as possible to automate processes like those. So amongst other things was to introduce the barcodes into the samples that were going to be procured into the lab environment. So while we do the integration, Jefferson will take note as I later talk to the DNA Exploration Act, that you will find that I had already included part of the requirements of the Act and what the environment has done to enable them. So part of this, we're finding that we're not all made available from the forensic side, but from the TMS side, given that they are system related. So we have then procured the barcodes that will enable the RNA process to be able to read those barcodes from the sample amongst others that will be sent to the labs. Not a lot of money, but it is some money that has happened in context to what they are deployed there for. Okay. And this is applicable in the KGA in Pretoria at the moment. That's the only two labs in the country that will have the RI lane rolled out to. Okay, the next one, please. This one's are the iPads. One of the challenges shared as well, we are going to be talking to the detectives environment, is do the detectives utilize the laptops that you've given? I know the previous round, honorable members have asked this question, and we said yes, we are in the process to train the utilization of laptops by the detective. I'm just raising this question because it is coming now in my mind to be saying that why would you not rather procure the iPads for detectives? Because they're quite friendly, easy to use, maybe better than this. But the utilization of devices like these are actually better utilized for job-specific purposes. We had done this project, the forensics environment had seemed to be leading in technology utilization within the department. So these iPads are meant for utilization amongst us by senior officers there, but particularly for the specific roles within the environment, the value of which will be derived or will be made visible with the progression of time. So we were able to also add a bit more for the environment and the procurement of iPads. These ones are the high-resolution cameras for scientific analysis. These cameras here are used for a collection of diverse materials, amongst other things, the fibers that are left in the crime. You would recall, Chairperson, as one of the questions that was posed previously is, how do you identify different types of exhibits from the crime scenes? And the one you were speaking about, the biometric enhancement solution, in this particular one, it's just cameras. These cameras will be able to pick up that little bit of fiber or whatever material or hay that is left in the crime before it is being picked up. You would take note, Chair, from the development, even from the Oscar case, that it has become a very sensitive matter in the scientific environment, particularly because it's other processes that are DNA that is involved. The how does the exhibit we found in the crime scene becomes very critical. So these specially designed or specially focused cameras are critical for that environment, which we have already done by end of quarter three.
I appreciate the fuller description and examples, but I think the members have got the presentation. I just worried about time because we've got 50 slides left in your presentation.
Okay.
You know, if we can just, if members got a specific technical question regarding what is the specific product or technology involved, please raise it, but you're welcome to go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Next one, please, Kevin. The next one. These ones are the scanners here. The other one was the printers, but these were scanners that we also procured. We had allocated additional funds. Jefferson would take note that there was no expenditure there within the scanners ones, because there was a zero expenditure there. We were trying to do this in two quarters. We didn't do it. That's right. In quarter four, was actually supposed to have been there, so we didn't go. But for the particular scanners, Jefferson was also the availability of the procurement data there, which was subsequently now finalized at the end of the financial year. These ones are the barcode for the police stations. When we do the DNA Act presentation there, you'll see the clause which this one is going to be applicable. We are just getting the police stations ready to be able to capture the data from the barcodes. But then we were able to expand as we directed it in this particular financial year. Just go back, please, Kevin. This one, sir, you'll take note of the 4 million there. I'm just highlighting this one a little bit more because of the additional allocation that was there. Earlier on, it said we had removed some of the funding to elsewhere in the project, as amongst others, the projects where the savings were going to as a 30 million there. Okay, the next one, Kevin, and the next one. This one, the license upgrade for the current system and the forensic environment, which took place as is a scale. So we should have the savings there. These SRI devices, Chairperson, we were not going to procure for the environment because there was no necessarily need in the environment for the specific ones. These ones are mainly utilized in the DICI environment, so the environment and indicated where we grow up. It is sufficient, so we have to reroute the funding to elsewhere. This one was the RI lane, the CI lane. It comes back from some time now. The 533 that we had paid is supposed to conclude the project, really. So there shouldn't be any reflection of this in the future because this project was concluded. This STM system upgrade process, this one, the bid process is also in place. We have to finalize this one, Chairperson. We have to spend this at the end of quarter two. This one's a smaller one in my views, but it's just like the ACES one. It's a procurement challenge that we have to finalize in this financial year. This one here is a semi-automatic DNA processing at the Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape was to acquire the new system, Chairperson, refurbishment of the environment in the Eastern Cape, which was the DNA there. DNA is currently in Gauteng in Western Cape. This is an expansion process. So this process is at the watch stage. It should be concluded within the end of this quarter, hopefully, so that we are able to roll out on this one, on the Eastern Cape. This one is this one you asked about, this one not in the previous financial year, in terms of the rollover. So the rollover which would have been concluded last financial year, 2014-15 already, which rollover was not concluded, also part of the finalization of the PWG processes later in the financial year. Currently the environment is concluding the training processes and the finances will be finalized once the training is concluded. The expert system and this one is a system for the biologic environment, part of the analysis, and then this process was concluded in the previous financial year. I mean, it's showing the Chairperson as a lesser amount spent, but it was really spent, as we had indicated already in terms of the finances that we reflected, but it shouldn't have actually been raised. It's really only because we had allocated more than we were meant to, but we, at the end, we had experienced the same. This one is the RFID project. This one is shared like the previous one on the BIU. These are the projects that pinch your heart a bit. Because we're saying, if projects happen at the time that are planned, you can have a significant savings in this thing. We had almost a premium rent, exchange rent, differential in terms of the CPIX. The money that is reflected, the bulk of it is really about CPIX. It's about in the range of million. I think we have paid 38 to 40 million odd just because of the exchange rate, which is really not acceptable. But it is also because of those challenges in ensuring the procurement vehicle that was missed. But we had planned, we had procured as we should have planned. You would see in quarter four, that amount that it was spent, it could have been at 37 million, it had to double for those reasons. This one is a storage capacity just about the hosting environment chamber. So this process was also concluded late in the financial year when the state checks, although this should be finalized in the end of the water issue campaign in September, which I reported on Tuesday. As well as this one, Chairperson, we're not going to be spending the challenges. We have the equipment delivered now. We're not going to be able to pay on any of the equipment within quarter four yet unless we verify that what was delivered to us was correct. Because at times we realize that the company will also take the advantage of the end of the financial year so that they deliver what you didn't really ask for. So, but how we kept that is to first verify, did you deliver what you had, and the payment will happen later. So we haven't paid yet, but that will be finalized. The balance solution, Chairperson, this one, it's highly likely that even in this financial year we are not going to conclude in this process. Because this process includes the PWD process, where the environment within the LCFC environment must be changed, the rooms must be altered to ensure that the balance solution goes in there. It is a request of municipal policy to wait rapidly just on the concerns. So one of the questions that the person was asking to before, to be saying, can you quantify the values or the amounts that you confiscated from the crime scene? This is a solution that will assist. But unless you have the proper areas where the solution is placed, we are not even going to be rolling it out. So PW will take the question. The risk analysis tool was also to prioritize the environment because of the COVID system analysis. So the MISA tool was also reprioritized. We had a zero allocation there because it was amongst us we were not going to prioritize in this financial year. These are the few intents within the LCRC environment. We're both from the forensics and the LCRC environment. This one, Chairperson, will be for a quarter 1, 2, 3, there was no allocation made. The forensics environment gets the allocation for the CJS as well. So at times when we make our procurement in terms of systems utilization is mainly provided for by the TS environment. But because this was a critical need in the environment, the forensics environment, this was the method that was to be prioritized for the environment, and then it had to also come through. You see that it's amongst us that it contributed to taking up of the finances. It was a zero at the beginning, but then at the end it ended up at 51 because we had to bring back what could have been spent perhaps in this financial year into this financial year. But 7% assisted a lot in the finalization of the remaining one together with the next one from the forensics environment. The third one.
Honorable Dwala.
Thanks, Chair. You know, so some further challenge of the Commissioner. What is this thing? If you know what?
Go back.
Cyanoacrylate fuming systems. These are the chambers that are used to function out the chemicals or the fumes that are coming out from processing of latent prints within the laboratories, amongst others. You know, so these are collected within the labs, you know, like you're extracting in the kitchen when you cook, which takes out fumes so that it doesn't smell or create the pungent of gas. This is what it does. It's called cyanoacrylate. Funny name. Chimney. This one is a tire trade one. Not only do we want to take prints of people, of the hands, or of bullets, we also want to do for tires and for shoes. So we are beginning to introduce the new technologies on how we can utilize the unique identifications of tires and tire treads as well as sheets, in order so that we are able to optimize our cancers. So this is the solution that we are going to be doing. Which we had already procured. It'll be interesting to see what it does as a result. And that concludes the forensics environment, Chairperson. We are going to begin to the provinces and the response. This one is shorter, so it shouldn't take that long. This one is about the relation of police stations and the national divisions, Chairperson. For all of them, we also take critical note of what has been requested from them for the duration of the year, and then see how much of what they had requested are we able to procure within the given circumstances. We have scoped to provide only 14 million for this financial year because of the needs that were not identified. But then confirmed on the need by the various environments, we had moved from about 40 million as an initial allocation to about 26 million. And Kevin, maybe go to the next slide that talks about what was the actual determinants. The next one. this one. This one even provides just a breakdown of what was procured for all the environment that it was procured to in the different clusters. You have all the source documents here that you needed at some point to see where were they distant to, but among that were notebooks, the stations, the mounted revenues, things we're going to deliver, the copiers, the scanners, and the printers that were specific for those projects. We have taken those in our old assistant and in the environment where the visits were taken to say that police are utilizing the old computers that still are white and they've got big boxes at the end. What are we doing about it? These are amongst the stations that are prioritized. Our rollout process in this initially, we focus on those stations, rural stations, city urban ones, to ensure that we bring them up to par with those developments. As the, what was of note of us to us was the notebooks that were distant to those that don't have the natural connectivity in terms of the landline, but the 3G. So in other projects, we're going to be seeing the increased use in the 3G costs because of the process trying to alleviate the non-availability of systems or networks in those areas. So this was one of the arguments I was specifically about. So this one was to do deployment, chairperson of the equipment. I had said earlier, SISTA is responsible for amongst others, ensuring that we have every, at any point where the request was made to provide you with the data on the computers that are connected and the items, I should be able to do that. I can't do it unless they have this mechanism amongst others in place. There has been delay in it. They are in the process now to finalize the allocation of a bid. I approach the adjudication process is finalized. I hope in this financial year, they are going to be rolling out the process to be able to say, all the people that I've procured, I've deployed and I've configured. They able to give you the data. Until that is done, chairperson will ask me questions on these regards. I have challenges. I have to depend on the manual companies, which is a bit of a challenge.
Sitting on the CJ's board.
They are not chairperson. They are called
the problem if you look at all these challenges.
They are not chair. In many instances, they are called. They are sitting there on ad hoc basis. In many instances, personnel responsible for a department will be called to the SISTA board meeting when the department is in a call. So, staff has got that. We will have our own accounts manager. Social development will have injustice. If justice had complaints about the system, then they will send a system manager for justice, which makes it a challenge because there is no contact person for the IJS or the cluster representative.
Yeah, the other issue that complicates this is the governance issue, because there would be a referee in a place. That we're sitting in a meeting where we're talking about the needs that we're having, the RFPs, and then they become the buyer also. Mm-hmm. So those issues are very difficult to navigate and manage.
Thanks, Nadia. You can continue.
Thank you, Chair. The next one, please, Ken. That has considered the stations, Chair, because with the stations in this particular focus was the replacements and the expansions where it was critical. This one was to just detect events. We had allocated 25 million for detectors at the beginning, but towards the end we had reduced the allocation to 19 million. Because for detectives, we were about to change the strategies there. Unlike, can I say, pumping detectives with equipment, rather start with the training element. So the training was not so costly in terms of requesting of services, but it is done internally within staff to first upskill the utilization of systems and the knowledge before you roll out on the number of systems, because the challenge as we took so far was there is equipment, the utilization rate is very low because of the expertise issue. So there's an expertise issue that we're working on in the utilization of system rate, because our old detectives, which is on the age group, they prefer their manual bookies, you know, and bookies are not green now. Okay, the next slide, please. This is a breakdown of the text on the voice recorders. They had requested the voice recorders for their investigation as part one of the tools. We had concluded the voice recorders in quarter one already, but we also wouldn't buy more voice recorders than it is needed. So we can only procure if there is an identity behind who is requesting it, so we can also begin to monitor utilization. The next one. These ones are the digital extraction devices. They've got different names. They've got the XRYs, they've got the SubRight, and as you name them. But these are the devices that are utilized to extract info out of their cell phones in those instances where it is confiscated for investigative purposes. We have done this and concluded in quarter two. This one is the actual analytical solution. The solution also is part of the GPLS, mainly within the deep sea environment, really, because they are the ones that go beyond in terms of the specialized investigation of crime. But with the changes with the deep sea structure and detectives, some of the utilizations of the analytical solution were found to be necessary within the detectives' environment. That is why the person that within the first quarter, we then had to procure a little bit more than what we had anticipated, also because of the availability of the contract later towards the financial year. This one was just renewal of the license. Chair, some of it is just an annual renewal. They will continue to be there. It's going to get some point in time during the presentation. But with these ones, it's just a license renewal. We would have to try to absorb them into the baseline so that they could take up the funds from the CJS. The next one. These ones are just expansions, additional ones that we need, Chairperson. We did not buy expansion ones. So for the same reason as I provided, I can only expand once I'm satisfied about the utilization of the current, so that we can then expand. This one is also the same one, Chair. We had a final allocation of that, but because of those challenges, we did not to finalize our CNT capitals. This one was also concluded at the end of the second quarter, Chair. Personal drive is also one of those tools to extract the info from either the external drives or the telephones or so forth. That concludes detectives. And then the VisPort environment, Chair. Personal, we'll take note that VisPort is the worst performing in the CJS in the financial year. I did not do well at all in the VisPort environment, but for very good reasons. We have scoped, maybe the next slide, let me talk it in context. Part of the expenditure, maybe the previous one, please, this one. We were to source some amount for the electric infrastructure, the Veritas building. Veritas is where the fire offices are, the ERFS unit is. Amongst other things that we raised as concerns were the network infrastructure that was not capable. Amongst other things that were identified to be done, they took those infrastructure issues and what was required to be done, only costed that amount. We were able to meet that demand at the very test building, you know, for the purposes of infrastructure upgrade network wise. So that we had achieved. The next one. This one is where there is no happiness. And this is a serious need. It's a critical need. These are similar devices that are used as roadblocks, for example. You would recall the MoFo touches, the MSIDs, where when people are stopped during the stop and search, they are able to check any sign of crime already, whether they are in a wanted databases, where they've got criminal records, just those issues. But we don't have these rolled out as a critical need. Amongst other things, we have to get those devices that will be meaningful for police. But we had procured the previous time were devices that were not user-friendly, nor that were real-time for which phone members to use at those environments during the searches. You know, so at this point, we went on to the address at the point that we are now, at the assessment level. When we are here with CSIR, they pointed out that this is one of the things that are at CSIR already. They are testing the five devices that we already had to see the relevance thereof. Will they be able to integrate their current system? Will they be able to provide real value as this call are requesting them the devices to do, as well as forensics, as well as all other environments that are in who should be interested in the realization of these, so that they are able to award a correct contract. So we spent zilch in this one because our process must conclude in this quarter. If it is concluded, I will then be able to roll out the field terminal devices. This is a pending one. You will take note of the Xeno concern that is raised in the country. It would have assisted a lot when people are deployed in those instances where they are deployed back into their countries, that we would have done the searches already for each one as they are going out of the border check to see where they are not part of the criminal wanted that we have the records of, we don't have. And now our delays had a very bad impact because of the delays in the finalization of this. We hope that we finalize this report that we are pushing to check that it's finalized. I had a report that before the end of May I shall have the finality on this one. So perhaps when we come next time we will be saying that it is awarded to this device that has been ready. That's why I didn't say. Okay, the next one.
This one are the maintenance of the current ones, chasing devices, maintenance. So the maintenance was done. The maintenance is also determined by, it is preventative maintenance and the repair. You know, so what was prevented and what was repaired was less than what we had scoped for. We had lesser breaking than we thought. The maintenance was within the 80,000, so we wouldn't pay more than the service that it required. So we had a saving there. The final one here is the PSF environment, where we perhaps go to the next slide, please. This one we also didn't achieve. It is only the two environments, the baseball one, Jefferson, as well as the PSS, where we certainly didn't meet our targets, but for those reasons that were really beyond what we would have done. The next one, please, so I can talk about all those reasons there. You know, because, what is this one now? Oh. You would have taken notes, Chair, like while we were also here with the CSIR, we had the command center as part of what would be finalized as a strategy within SAPS, you know, so that we are talking to the current system. We would want to have the detectives of police, dynamics, crime scenes, and then they're providing real-time information back and forth, you know, so we would want to have a system that is almost defined like what the defense is living in the country, or maybe better, you know, to have those systems. Part of what we did is maintenance. You know, to at least keep running what we have as our mobile operational units. But the strategy going forward with the command centers is something that we are going to be taking with the CSIR. I think that concluded the process, unless there's something else. The video wall, the maintenance, this maintenance also okay, the percentage, albeit it was the 67,000 ones that we do not pay for more than what we can have done in the given budget. So this was not necessarily an underachievement. We have achieved this particular one only at a lesser value. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, members. We'll take a 5-minute break, then we come back to questions. 5 minutes. Thank you.
Now I'll allow you another.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the next one.
Right, honourable members, if we can maybe the next minute or so just take your seats. Thank you very much, honourable members. Thank you for adhering to the short tea break. We will now go to questions. Members, please indicate. Honourable Ramakabani will start with you.
No, thank you very much, honourable chair, and then also thanks to the general for the presentation, very detailed presentation. With hundreds of details and also the degree of frankness, because I think unless we get into that frankness, we're not going to get to the bottom of the problem. Having said that, Chair, this project is not a new project. It's been around from 2007, actually. 2005-2007 hitting the ground. But what concerns me in the presentations it's a lot of issues. Some of them are not necessarily under the control of SEPs. Either they are in the sector, if I call it that way, in the cluster. And we can bend the management's head sometimes on some of the things, but are able to get to the bottom of the problem and find a solution. That's the general statement I want to make, because there are a number of things. But however, the 100-page document, we can spend the whole day on it in trying to really squeeze. I would take a different approach to that. When I listen to the presentation, I wanted to stop and say, why don't we just put the papers and talk? You know, halfway down the presentation, I attempted to say, it's a torta that we should just close the paper and talk directly face to face. But it was good that we didn't, because we got all the information. I think that what we probably as a committee, we have been listening to the presentation. We do need all the role players in the room to have a discussion on this. There are role players that some of them are probably could fall in the category of culprits of dragon feet, and that are not sitting here, to the driver of the project. You know, this project at some point was driven by Deputy Minister at the beginning, because this was lifted to a level that it is important that it is driven so that the integration is critical. But as I listen to the presentation, I worry that we are making lots of progress. I think that somehow the police are doing what they can, but they are unable to move unless the whole sector moves. So I wanted to summarize this issue for me in five key questions, really. That does not necessarily only depend on this, the police. There's an integration of it. You know, for the satisfactory of a billion, and now it's interesting that 1 billion at the beginning, 1.9, I don't know how many billions has been put into this project for now. But we need to have a sense as a cluster led by the police. What is the percentage talking to this project of satisfactory completion in terms of the money that we can actually get results out of the project? Because the results are not going to come. And that is the integrated approach. There's a whole lot of capacity issues in the sector, not necessarily in the SEPS, but in the sector. The whole capacity in the sector to manage this project, including the driver of this project. You know, the whole thing about you sit in the meeting and you're also at the data at the same time. That's a recipe for problems. The issue of the budget and management issue. If there's an integration of budget is sitting elsewhere in various portfolios, but in terms of integration or pages of integration, how do we, the management of that? Because we can start raising issues about the issue of budgeting for this, not getting that, and safety money is a good planning and management issue. But for me, that is it. And then the fourth thing I would think that for us, as a committee and a member of parliament, what is this mechanism that we need to unlock? What is systemic block? What is the CETA issue? What is it that we need to do unlock for progress to be made or progress to be realized with money? Because, and I don't want to go into an issue about fiscal dumping. I don't want to go into the issue about management, fruitless expenditure in terms of the delays and all that, that raises the cost of the community at the end. I don't want to go into that, but I'm saying that the issue about the unblocking issues. Treasury is involved, this whole thing that we need to have a sense of that. Then this painful thing about CETA. I'm saying painful because you can't take 2 years to finalize a tender. I don't know even what happened to the specification, tenders, but it's big specifications, records and forward, and who writes up these issues, and who's standing on the other side to collect in terms of the specification. That, I don't know even get into that, but the issue about, painful issue about CETA. How do we deal with that particular the issue of capacity in CETA is what, so there's an issue about that we need to have sense of what, because this is unblocking, because some of the things is functional, operational, that we not necessarily play in the space, but we play on unblocking. This is now kind of a sector unblocking. Then I do want to say, Commissioner, the issue about forward planning and management of that forward planning issue. I have an issue that this is now set specific. That's set specific in terms of that issue. There is an issue that you need to have a conversation around that. But let me say, I want to pause here, but I'm saying, from where I'm sitting, we need to cut all the other details, go straight into the problem, cut to chase and say, these are the critical things that we identify and we need to be able to resolve these issues in one room, round table, all the players in terms of those who are participating in this to try and resolve whatever we need to resolve. You need to be a deviation and waiver in respect of CETA. It becomes a solution, even solution that we need to unblock in a discussion. But otherwise, if we don't, not going to be able to put the foot down for the city, we'll see the next day still go on the same problem. So this is from 2007. 2015 now. So these are the things I wanted to suggest. I resist from going into other detailed questions because I think we can spend all day here.
Robert Carney, other colleagues, Honorable Carla Barnard, and then I'll go to Seth Young.
I wonder if someone could just clear something up for me. The references at the outset to how much it's going to cost to, I think the word is integrator, I don't know what the word was used, but meld various databases from Home Affairs, E-Notice, et cetera, and such, rang some bells in my mind. And I with the researcher, we were looking at the SAS Act. And I look at 15B, comparative search against other databases. So any fingerprints, et cetera, made for purposes related to detection of crime, investigation of an offense, missing persons, identification, be checked against the databases of, and then list the other ministries. And it also says that in 15D, that the various DGs of these divisions must develop standard operating procedures regarding access to the databases and the various safety measures to protect the integrity of the information, and that other databases may only be accessed in terms of the SOPs, the standard operating procedures. Now, perhaps we could see the standard operating procedures, or I don't see anything here that says that all of the databases must be integrated. In my mind, I'm recalling some sort of issues about people not wanting searches done on, like, trawling the suspects, as it were. So I just want some input on that. I'm not sure what the status of that is, and I just want to make sure we don't end up with any kind of complaints about human rights violations. And I hate raising it after all these years. I hate raising it every time we get to the point, but please can you give us the status of the dreaded e-docket system? Is it still like the unicorn? Everyone's heard about it, but no one's ever seen one. What is it? Because I really have never seen any station using it. Perhaps you could tell us how you determine the percentage weight of the milestones developed. It just doesn't give us a clear picture of what's happening. A final one, just for me, the video wall nerve sensor maintenance project sounds wonderful. I have no idea what it is. Perhaps you could tell me what it is and what the timeline for completion is. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. My questions do touch on some detailed matters, just to shed some light on issues that occur to me. And the first thing I wanted to flag is that the presentation that was given this morning is not exactly the same and seems to be more updated from the hard copy that we got yesterday in our pinholes. So I just flag, if it hasn't already been picked up, that the committee please gets this electronic copy so it can be forwarded to us by email. Because I just noticed there was bits of information that were on the screen, but not in the hard copy I was following. My first question is on page 6. One of the comments in explaining the situation with under expenditure and delays is it talks about how there's a back and forth between SAPS and the seeker, where the seeker sends remarks for review on the bid specifications. I'm just curious to know, in general, not too specific, what is the nature of these remarks for review that CISA sends back? And where this question comes from is I'm just trying to get a sense of whether CISA does not communicate properly up front what they need when these bid specifications come to them, or is there a shortcoming on the side of SAPS in that there's incomplete information going through, and so that's why it has to keep going back and forth. And secondly, whether this is really a major issue as part of the systemic challenges in managing all of this. My second question is, when I was looking at the projects under the detective services components of this whole revamp, there's 8 projects listed, but none of them speak to an issue that came up during the committee's oversight visits in Mpumalanga with the anti-rat poaching task team at the Kruger National Park, where I remember General Munu saying that one of the challenges they face on the ground is, number one, around cell phone reception, and so they're saying that they're going to need satellite phones to be able to operate in the more remote parts of the park. And then secondly, issues around thermal vision equipment for nighttime operation. And none of the operations projects, sorry, seem to speak to that. Maybe they do, and the name is just too scientific to actually make it explicit. But I just want to ask if, is that on the radar? Do any of these projects contain those needs? And if not, what's the plan for those identified needs in that particular operational area are going to integrate into this? Then my last question is, there was the discussion around the links and integration between SAPS and Home Affairs. Is all of this also, or broader, where are we in terms of ensuring and improving links between all of this and the court system? Because that's obviously the final stage of the whole flowchart around data integration, seamless interoperability, and all high-tech tools. So the links to the court system, where is the progress and any key challenges around that? Thank you.
Very honourable, are you fine?
You're fine. Honourable Bala.
Thank you. Some of the things that I'm going to answer is, my question is around the detectives and their consultation. The e-token system. You know, I've always had this problem that you've got a laptop that primarily becomes a typewriter. That does not talk to the system in the office. I'm happy to answer this here, and I think she's more knowledgeable on these issues. What is the program inherent to the department to come up with strategies that begin to create these linkages? The laptop and the ability of the laptop to update the system in the office as backup. I see there are now iPads are very handy and easy to use. Could that perhaps be a reason that motivated for iPads to acquire as a consequence of the failure of the current laptops to talk to the challenge? about post that she had quite a number of things in my head. Question.
Honorable Malabashi.
In the past, yes, we talked of codes for database. How far are we in this regard? My next one is, the previous committee undertook a trip to forensic lab in Pretoria. We found very huge machines that were just gathering dust there and nothing was happening. And very expensive machines to the tune of some of them to the tune of 35 million. At some stage, some of the very machines were even dismantled. So what I want to know from General Chase is, has the situation improved? My third question is, I want to check your readiness in the implementing of DNA legislation. Ready in equipment and capacity. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks for this moment again. It's the issue around HEPA. It's the issue that I think I got to address a few meetings ago. If the general sir could update us of the status of HEPA, where we are and what's happening there, perhaps one can then ask further questions. Thanks, sir.
And just for the questions, I tend to agree with Honorable Robert Nkane, maybe follow up late June with those helpers that will be identified now by the National Commission and the team. Must also be in the room, but I think let's also deal with the other questions because I think there's still two other presentations. So let's take the responses and then we'll do the other presentations to respond with members. But I think Honorable Robert Khan is correct. We must focus on the unblocking of the total picture, and I mean, we must assess SAPS and we've got space end of June in terms of the program to do that. Yeah, National Commission and your team.
Sure, from a small-minded perspective, when I listen to some of the questions, they are sitting in the presentations that we are still to make. So I'm not sure whether we should deal with the below the questions or going to come back to them and use the two other presentations, extend the other questions and with the questions all at once. Okay. And if we are not chair, I would say let's move on to the DNA part of the presentation because the IAS talks to some of the things that we are doing to roll out the DNA. So through you, Chair, if I can request that General Hashani deal with the DNA readiness, the implementation plan that we brought before you, how far we've gone, and then we close off with the backward-looking DNA implementation processes that we've done, and then we go to IJS. Okay. I agree absolutely, and I would comment also on the construct.
Thanks, honourable members. This presentation will speak briefly on the status of the implementation of the Act. Just to get there. We had firstly the legislation split into two. The first part of it being the Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Act and Case of 2010, which regulates the powers in taking and processing fingerprints, body prints, and photographic images. Secondly, which will be the primary focus of this presentation, the Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Act. At 37 of 2013, which regulates the powers in taking DNA from samples, establishment of the National Forensic Database, and in terms of the objective, which is to establish and maintain a National Forensic Database in order to perform comparative searches for the following purposes. One, to serve as a criminal investigative tool in a fight against crime. Secondly, to identify persons who might have been involved in the commission of offences, including those committed before the coming into operation of the Act, to provide the innocence or guilt of an accused person in the defence or prosecution of that person, to exonerate a person convicted of an offence, or to assist with the identification of missing persons or unidentified human remains. These objectives are transported as they are from what the Act provides. In the next slide, Chair, we demonstrate to you the process. Now, this is following collection of the vehicle sample. What is it in stage one? As you know, the Act mandates authorized persons to take samples. In this case, the detective services are a key focus area where we even went to an extent of obtaining some of them. It's a process that will go over a period, but we have targeted 5,500 of the detectives to be trained in the fourth quarter of the previous financial year, following coming into operation of the Act on the 31st of January 2015. So, in that first stage, you will see we are just depicting the reference samples and crime samples. Maybe you can just do a click. It will show if it is received. It will move to the next stage with a click. So it's either a reference sample or a crime sample, which then arrives in the laboratory. You'll note that from stage two onwards, forensic services play a part, because in stage one is more at the point where the taking of the sample is located outside the laboratory environment. If it is received, registered, and processed in terms of all our SOPs, we move into the next stage, which is the analysis thereof. There we only talk of the index lane. I think General Shezi in the presentation earlier was talking about the RI, the reference index lane. It is specifically created or established for these particular purposes. So the analysis is taking place, following which gets transported to stage four, which is the whatever work gets done, there is a serious review process that we subject the environment to, and then you will move over to the next stage, which is in the quality management environment where the National Forensic Database is located. This to me is very critical, Chair, to mention that we had to create, if you recall, the quality management environment so that the database is not located in the same environment where casework is being done. So it is more outside the environment, with the head quality management reporting directly to the divisional commissioner, and a section specific created for the database management purposes. So it will go in that process, and if you click, it will show the movement. Remember, there are various indices, whether it's of arrested people, you know, the convicted, your investigative, and so on. So those red blocks represent each of those. So depending on what it was, it will go into a specific one, and if you do a click, it will show the movement in terms of a report, which now goes back, and where is it going to that stage one where the detectives are, so that we can be able to say individual A is linked to this, or crime scene A, this is what the linkages are. I'm moving on to the next slide. That was just in brief the overview of the process that is followed from collection until we dispatch a report to the detectives. in this light, you know that the act provides for the establishment of the board, forensic oversight and ethics board, and I can assume the deputy chairperson of the board, Vanessa Lynch, is in this house. What are the functions of the board? First, to monitor the implementation of the DNA Act. Secondly, make proposal to the minister on the improvement of practices regarding the overall operations of the National Forensic DNA database. The ethical, legal and social implications of the use of the forensic DNA, and recommendations on training and the development of criteria for the use of familiar searches. In the next slide, continue, the board must provide oversight over the process relating to the collection, retention, storage, destruction and disposal of DNA samples, the retention and removal of forensic DNA profiles as provided for in this act, and familiar searches. What we did in the next slide was to take the honourable members will recall we did a close-by-close analysis of the act. What is it that the act requires? But we then said to ourselves, you can't just focus on the higher level in terms of the clause requires this, and we are going to do this in a line. So we went back and said we need to unpack it a little bit further for operationalization purposes. So this will be a snapshot of the key focus areas of the S around which we will have developed an implementation plan. So say, if we are to report back and say this is the progress that we are making, we are talking to the specific and not at the high level, but more on the level where we should be reporting. So the first focus area, which is to enable a legislative or regulatory framework. Secondly, to establish an enabling capacity responsive to the Act. Thirdly, modernization of forensic services. The presentation Ada will have spoken more in detail in terms of what goes into that space. The fourth one, infrastructure and development. This is physical resources related. The fifth focus area, establishment of the National Forensic DNA database. And lastly, business performance. So in the next slide, Chair, I'm taking each one of those key performance areas to provide some status in respect of implementation. First one, first deliverable there being the operationalization. It is common knowledge that the President signed the Act into operation the 31st of January 2015. The board has accordingly been appointed on the 31st of January 2015. And I do know that the board, within 30 days from when they were appointed, held their first meeting. And the board has already commenced their interaction with us. They visited the DNA lab in Pretoria just to follow the process and have an understanding from where we are sitting as to what is found in there, including what our challenges are. We are truly looking forward to work together with the board and ensuring that they execute their mandate in supporting us with the implementation. Thirdly, it is a requirement for regulations to be published to support the DNA Act. That has been done. Honourable members will recall the Act has said within 6 months from when the Act came into operation, the regulations need to be published. The Act was operational on the 31st, and by the 13th of March, that has already been realized. Fourthly, ensure compliance with the quality management system, very critical in terms of the work that we do. The status is that the quality management system implemented in the FSL, ISO 17025 verification in process, identification of prioritized methods pending verification, that's the progress that we are making. Important is always to know that Accreditation is not a must. It is not a legislative requirement. It is a best practice. And we subscribe to that. And thus, the triggering of these processes to ensure that we ultimately move towards that accreditation. But it's never a thing that you are going to do all at once. You prioritize specific processes that need to be accredited. And we develop plans around such, moving from one year to the other. Compile national instructions for crisis management. The draft has been compiled. It is to serve before the policy committee internally, which national instruction takes into consideration some dynamics flowing from the Act itself. Here we are, parliamentary oversight. It's an ongoing process that the Act will also demand. The second focus area, Chair, to establish an enabling capacity responsive to the Act. The first deliverable there, optimization and alignment of the structures responding to the DNA Act by focusing on human resource capacity. There will be some information that will be visible in the upcoming slide, but part of what we had to do, as we had made visible the National Forensic Database being located within the quality management environment, the first step was to migrate that from the operations, in other words, from the Forensic Science Laboratory and create the component, create the section to make sure that there is no compromise at all. Optimization and alignment of the structures responsive to the DNA Act by focusing on human capital investment. Ongoing training of forensic and crime scene examiners remains very critical. We are on course. Honorable members will recall during the budget presentation there will have been, I think it was an amount around 40 million that was made visible by HRD in terms of training, CJS. It is here where we are developing the people. Review by HRD on existing learning material, resolving of crime, first responders, basic police learning program. Honorable members will recall an issue which was identified as a need that we need to get to the point where we have people in basic training already trained on some of the basics around forensic. It is not an intention to make them experts, but to enable them to do the work. And maybe the training of the detectives as authorized persons is a step in the right direction. Beyond the detectives, we have to go to the first responders because they are the people who are arriving first on that crime scene. It is important that the evidence is never compromised. Forensic awareness and taking biocar samples, we focus on clubs and IP members. The number reflected there, recall Chair, I said our target was to make sure that 5,500 were trained by end of March. The 5,156 is the number that has been trained, and the training continues beyond March. Ultimately, we want to cover all the detectives, including those investigators within the IP environment. We will continue reporting on the progress that we are making in as far as coverage is concerned. In the next slide, modernization of forensic services, I think General Sherry went a great deal in terms of some of the things done in that space. The first deliverable here, acquire specialized forensic equipment. We spoke about the reference index lane as well as the CI, the crime index lane. The crime index lane is already operational in the laboratory, particularly in Pretoria. There is one RI lane that is deployed in Pretoria, Arcadia, and we have also deployed three lanes in Plattekloof. I know that at some point the members of the previous committee visited the planted roof. We have revamped the basement, portion of the basement of the planted roof laboratory to accommodate this new need. Where we are, people have already been trained to be able to do work on the lay. We are currently having a challenge with regard to the consumables of the RI lay. We did a bit. The first one, at the point where we had to do assessment, had to be discontinued because there were some complaints that were received through DPCI, and there was an investigation to be done. I think secondly, there was the bidder did not comply, and the last one, I think it was a non-responsive bid. So there is a little bit of a struggle to get the consumables in that regard. But we continue to do work. The fact that we did not have consumables is not stopping us from doing the processing, because the manual processes that are in the lab are currently taking care of such things. The volumes are not too high at this stage, but we believe that we will overcome that challenge soon. Business and functional requirements for NFBD system have been completed. The security and data integrity risk assessment are in process within the TMS environment. Then we spoke about the functions created on CAS, ICDMS, FSL admin, and DSTAR lab system. I think these are some of the issues that will be taken on board in the presentation by General Shetty on the IGS project. Channel 4's key focus area: infrastructure development, refurbishment of existing facilities, foreign services required facility management in collaboration with DPW to perform facility assessments to address refurbishment shortcomings identified in the assessment, because it is very important that we remain compliant at all times. Expansion of forensic services facilities, decentralization, both in the FSL and here in CSM. We have communicated our facility needs, so facility management in respect of, I must say it's an old story, time come. We need to get to the construction and not just be talking about the site that has been identified and the fact that the environmental study has been conducted and getting a certificate. We need to move beyond that point. And also the need, as honorable members know, that the forensic services, particularly in Pretoria, is cut out in about 5-6 buildings around Pretoria. We will want that consolidation, because it will go a long way in ensuring better control, especially taking care of the security challenges. Now, for example, when you deploy CCTV camera, you need to go into 5 different buildings while you could be hitting them in one, but we accept that it's a long-term project. As I said, the environmental study was completed in Pinetown site, and facility management in collaboration with DPW to start the planning process, hopefully for the building thereof. Change the next one, establishment of the National Forensic DNA Database. One, facilitate system solution for the National Forensic Database, DNA profile repository module, which focuses on these indexes, RSD index, convicted offender index, investigative index, missing person, unidentified persons index, and elimination index, including the candidate DNA lead module, reporting DNA lead module, expansion management module, and so on. In terms of status, Honorable Mulevati asked about the CODIS. the comparative analysis between CODIS and SOLF has been done. Security and data integrity risk assessment of forensic systems in process, business requirement and functional requirement for LFDD system has been completed, and then technical design in process by CETA. One of the things that we wanted to do was not just to take CODIS as it is, it was to have it subjected to some kind of an assessment from a security perspective. We then approached the crime intelligence. We lately had a discussion with the National Commissioner where we have agreed to approach SSA, state security, but also to get CSIR involved in that process. Deliverable 6, business performance, collection of forensic evidence, DNA bulk samples collected after the 31st of March. We will not necessarily be pleased with the low number following the training of the detectives, and that is why we are now embarking on a much more focused drive to make them take more, because at a point when we develop different patients, we realize 601 samples, or they're taken from 601 persons arrested. Police official is for elimination purposes, 6,756. I'm grateful that the National Commissioner sampled among these 6,756, including mine and the head of the detectives and the management in forensic services, including the crime scene experts and people in the laboratory, and those that have been changed. It is already taken on board. We hope that with the training of the people, we will gain momentum and have much more taken. It is not a process that is going on without some challenges. For example, there was an element of resistance from some members, but you know, with education and so, we are able to overcome that bridge. Sentence persons on remand. Honorable Chair, there is approximately 160 people in the prisons of our country. We have to take from all of them, particularly as the provisions of the Act. That process, I think, is soon to be embarked upon by our detectives, the trained ones. They are going to start at Jose Mamburu. There are arrangements already in place to begin the taking of the samples, which will go a long way, maybe, in solving some of the long unresolved cases within the government. Investigation of forensic investigative leads. Just for the 2014-15 financial year, persons of interest, DNA profile on database linked to crime scene sample, 4,075. That is the latest we have. Cases linked to exhibits with no forensic DNA profile of the person on the database is 3,625. Maybe just to make a distinction between the two. In respect of the 4,075, it is where we will be able to say, on that particular machine, this individual was there. So the process needs to be embarked upon by the detectives to locate that person and be able to question or find justification to his or her presence on that particular crime scene. In respect of the 3,625, it is where it is common that there is an individual which is operational here, but we may not necessarily know who that person is, because maybe that person was not our customer before. But once a reference sample is taken at a later stage, the 4,000 increases, maybe the 3,065 decreases. We are looking forward to have an increase in terms of the 4,075. We are very pleased that if we look over the years, how that picture has been increasing, it is commendable from our perspective. Provincial commissioners to appoint task teams to follow up. on investigative forensic investigative lead, very critical. We have already communicated the directives to the provincial commissioners and the regional commissioner detective, because in many instances, these are serial offenders where they commit crimes not only in one station area. They go across the border. So it is meaningless to have those cases investigated in isolation from each other. There's a need to have a task team which will follow through on those cases. Training workshop planned for end of May, June. This is more with the legislatives and so on in respect of the leave. In short, that's the presentation of the progress in terms of the DNA. There is further detail, which if need be, the machine could be talking to it from a systems perspective. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, General Pakistani, for that. I think the third presentation, the final one, let's have that.
Just before we go to the final one, there is a post quarter report on what GMS has done on this matter. So can we just quickly take this one high level, because that outstanding, and then we will go to the IJA.
Thank you, Chair. In the instance from the GMS, Vice Chair was recorded, we give quarterly reports on each of the elements that it. Some of the questions that the honourable members asked are part of the answers are part of what is in there. What have you done thus far from a systems perspective to update or to be ready for implementation of the Act? The next one, Chair, will talk to the deliverables in the support of taking of the background samples as well as the capturing thereof as required by Section 36D in the Act. What this presentation does, it has highlighted all the applicable acts or other applicable clauses within the Act, and then it will support them by the respective systems that are in place and what is being done by this. The first system in this regard is the CAS, the Case Administration System, as well as the new version upgraded, the Investigation Case Book Management System, or the ICGMS. Within the first quarter, we've requested, let me start in this report, it will be more rather useful to speak to the question that Honorable Corolla asked in terms of the what determines the weight. When I was doing the presentation on the CAS, we had a calculation of the weights that were developed. We are measuring our weights in terms of the progression of the system life cycle, the four stages, with regard to the planning and so forth. So what we do, we will know that for us to do the ICTMS, this is a three-year cycle, it's a three-year system development process, for example. Within the first year, what do we do in order to conclude that part of the development for the first year? And all the relations or all the aspects must go to the first year. We will then develop that in this quarter, this will happen in this one. That's how we break it up, and then we provide the milestones. To say that within the planning, what entails the planning process is a violation of the business competition with the suppliers, understanding what the system must develop, doing all those things, and we'll weigh that. And then to see how far or how much of what we're supposed to do within that provision has been done, and we give it a percentage. So it will depend on in which stage of the life cycle the process is. I think that question is also important for us from the point of view of the question raised by Honorable Ramachakana to say, if there is a delay that is experienced for a system that was calculated to take 3 years, and all other applicable processes delay the project, you end up with a project reflecting in your plan for the next 5 years or 6 years. Now, everybody would want, this thing has been ongoing from 2007. Where are you? But you can't break through unless you have met one of the lead steps towards the next one. The dependencies are vast and they're not good. So after that process, you're not all the things. But even today, the first system is the CAS and the SDMS. With the first part of what we're doing in those quarters, this report then will talk to the quarterly achievements of what was done. You will see here in the first block that you talk the 100% of what was done in terms of the user accepted sensitive. What we do in the EAPs is that we shall have taken on board all the necessary priorities that each department shall have done. Having taken all of them, we have then operationalized them. We said, when we want to develop the system, we develop them with the input from the one environment, they want the system to do 1, 2, 3, and 4. for. We shall do the development, finish it, and go back to them to say, test this, this is what we're looking for. This is what it's meant. I'm not going to talk to all the EATs for all the subject matters. I'm only going to then focus on what was to be achieved within the quarter course and maybe perhaps only relate to those instances where we had to do some of the provisions. One of the key issues General Patan already spoke to is that 60% of quarter four, what was the system supposed to be doing from our part? Within the ICDM as part in this integration process, we are to ensure that at the level there the police have been trained or the detectives are trained. Is the ICDMS or the CAS manual process updated at HFD to be able to talk to those modules and those stories and new modules within the CAS? That would say the citizens are using CAS which did not have the provision for the backup samples. Now that there is backup sample in place, have you updated the manual accordingly? So those are the progress that are being done really. Part of what has not been concluded, for example, will be how far beyond detectives and HRD to go. You will see in that 60% one, it will say we then have to also include legal services, so also have to include other elements like that. That's what we say. Have you answered for all what you would like the system to address from your point of view? In terms of what you would like the system to do, you know, in this regard. So the call chairperson, as you go through in this presentation, you will see that the requirements of the air some instances require the expungement of data within a particular period that is required. So it is in these spaces that that process must already be catered. So I'm not going to really go through each one of them, Chair, and take a little bit of time, and then I'll miss up on the ITAS, which is a bit critical. The next slide. This one here also talks to the CRIM system, the CRIM system that will have all the information about the crimes already been recorded. This one talks to Section 36B1 also, what has been done there. Have you developed the functionality thereof to capture the numbers so that we create the link between CRIM, CAP, ICDMS that has been done, and the progress each bullet will then talk to what progress has been done in respect of each of those. The next one. This still talks about the CRIM, let me talk to the item number 39%, development of and CRIM and NFDD code tables. You will realize, Chair, that in other instances, we cannot complete the development unless there is an approach from the one angle. There are particularly outlined the fact that coding and SOC were being assessed, and the stage where coding is the moment following the visit that we have taken to FNI to assess the situation, crime intelligence as well as other are on board. But until we have an output report, we can't begin with the integration of the development because that process is the basis of the start of the progress. So unless the report comes on board, the part will not move. It will either be zero instances of development at some part while it is awaiting the decision on the other part. Okay, the next one. The next one also. This one talks to the current system that is utilized in the forensic environment for managing the samples or cases that are received at the lab according to Section 34 or 36D4 of the Act. You know, in this instance here, we have to update it. I have to say, can you link what you have received in the case as an entire chain to what you then process within the operational process? That has been done. The last part that was developed in this instance was that RI functionality, which is already in the production stage now. Now the training thereof is being concluded. The next one. This one is the Data E. This is the software that is used within the DNA process to manage the samples. This is part of the process as we talk to the IJS presentation chairperson. We will also leave this one to the lab software that is currently under consideration within that environment. So for all these questions are being attended to. The next one. I really like to talk about PCHEM because I know that PCHEM is also, you know, almost 3 or 6 years, 9 years. PCHEM version 1.x. As a forensic environment, Chair, we have rolled out the PCHEM version 1.1. I think that 1X portion and top is an error. It's 1X version 1.1, not 1X. The PCHEM solution 1.1 is really very well in the lab. There is certainly no complaint with the PCHEM at that stage. The development of 1.1 was according to the needs of the SS environment, and those have been done. What we have done in this combination there with 1.1.1x is the portion name. We had, as part of what we reported the previous time, that the development of the current version of PCHEM 1x Shakati would recall that amongst other things, which is a dying need, is the precautions of exhibits within the SAP safety source countrywide, amongst other concerns that have been raised to finding exhibits that are not accounted for. 1X was custom designed to do exactly that. But the deliverables that are to be achieved in line with what we have already, can I say, paid for, are not also so convincing, it's not so finalized at this stage. We have compiled a test of reference for independent evaluation by CSIR at this stage to say, with what we have received thus far and what we have already paid, is there two talking to each other? We have listed this chapter, we talked about half of the list of the CSIR that we've already submitted to the committee. So this outcome of the evaluation is expected not later than June, and in this coming month, that we are then able to take the way forward with regard to resolution PKM for SAPS. The intention was not to have two versions of different ones because it's really secondary, but you know, to ensure that the solution that was developed for those purposes is unified, it can be rolled out without any hindrance to where it is meant to go. The next one. This is the where she has already spoken to the where sort of what will in the future replace the current data is. Capacity systems are mainly the issues as well as ease of use and so forth. But the development of that is coming forth on the systems or the state of the list of the papers, that the evaluation had taken place of the level for biology. So the award stage is going to follow with this one. The next one, please. This one talks to chapter 36B, 6 and 7 of the Act. It talks specifically to the NFDD. I think I don't need to go through this, and Alan has already spoken to this one. The training, the installation, the business requirements, everything is dependent on that decision to say how do we move forward in terms of the functional design for us to be able to say that how do you then coordinate those two. So the decision is quite critical for us to be able to move with these. Also in terms of chapter 5B, which speaks to all the subsections, 6G, NR, and so forth. I know that Honorable Agma earlier on inquired about the COVID, and then it is in this particular stage that we currently are, but at the same time we are already so, you know, a bit ahead of what we anticipate coming from the environment to prepare accordingly. That's when we see the 90% there. The next one. This one is the forensic lease. I think the last slide of the presentation by General Pachan was talking to the forensic lease, why that was the case. The business requirements have already been concluded. The consultation to forensic at the moment. And Mr. Brady George also here in this part of the presentation, the project within the forensic environment. The second last one is the business intelligence coding. This is also information required by Act in terms of soliciting information that is required. You know, the level of information that is required per user, per chief user. What type of information would you want a specific user to have access on? I think it is those details that we're putting to accessibility in the system, the control, and so forth, the security aspect that also go with this for the whole NFDD. The other part of the architecture space of the whole DNA environment, I think General Pasha has already spoken to this, thing that in consultation with CIDA, CSIR, you know, to find the proper logical setup of the architecture. This will not only include just this process, but also the risk management or the disaster recovery aspect thereof. The next one, please, the one also part of what I've just said now, that the discovery process is run. The one that is interesting, the chair, is the hosting one, the storage capacities. Now and then we see also the operational budget of TMS. The capacity for storage is something that takes a part of the budget within the TMS environment because it is data that you don't want to do away with. It is records that you want to archive, not to write on and delete. You know, so in various instances, we have to build on the storage mechanism. We are also in the process to find what are the better alternatives of buying better storage, you know, for an increase in the demands within our environment at this stage. I think that's the last one. Thank you, Chief.
Just maybe a quick one. Why do you take 11 months to sign a contract with the FBI? Is she also involved?
Hello, this incense doesn't involve Shihai at all. I think Sena Sasha gave quite an elaborate process of consultation into the security aspect. Already, it is a system that is used internationally. It is always good to ensure that they are not fresh into the security issues. Part of the people that come to do assessment, including the OSA general self, amongst other issues that they raise is the security of the network, security of the information contained. So it is important that while we do roll out the system, maybe yes, intended for intended purposes, we shall have ensured that only the security measures have been taken on board. But this time, it is no secret.
What I could add here is that some of the things that we're discussing in the ACPS session are issues related to what we call sovereign security and sovereign technology. But we're not able to achieve it in all instances. And in an instance such as this one, where we are not having sovereign technology and sovereign systems. This is why General Patan is talking about the involvement of our crime intelligence and the involvement of our SSA to assess that in the absence of that sovereignty, are we still secured as a country? Yeah.
Thank you for that presentation. The operator, I think the committee will take note of the issues. Of course, we will evaluate it and let's go to the last one.
Also going to also run through this one because this is almost the same as CJS. I'm not going to talk to what it does. I'm only going to focus in relation to the questions that we raised. So that as I go through the presentation, I already take questions on board for the honourable members have raised in regards to the IJS. Most of the questions that we raised are raised between the IJS, in the IJS, but not necessarily the CJS. Mainly to start fine venture. The CJS fund focus mainly on the modernization. And it's mainly inward looking. It is mostly sub projects. The IJS one, this particular one, are interdepartmental. It is sub getting ready to have communications with the rest of the departments that are applicable, you know, to be able to process those issues. So the focus there on the in this presentation will talk to those transversal systems that we then focus on from the sub point of view. 330 million was booked for this project for 2014-15, 330 million was spent on it. The next slide. It has two sub-programs, Chair. The first part is the IJS sub-program, which is made those systems to be developed, to be either upgraded or enhanced from the sub-site, to be able to communicate with the rest of the cluster, as well as the second scope is shot to the transversal element. Those ones which are transversal specific, they focus to those issues that General Gresham Commissioner referred to earlier on, to be saying that dealing with the migration of the decision taken to move them at the program office, that dealt specifically with the migration or the transversal issues, which had to migrate to the leading department. This is the portion that is highlighted separately from the IAS projects that are driven from the sub-site. But this particular sub-program will refer specifically to those inward products, sub-projects which are benefiting for the whole cluster. The next slide, please. This one talks to the IAS transversal sub-program. Oh, this is at the last breakdown. Two components. This program is just specifically to say how do we fare in terms of performance, budget-wise, this program, this is how we fare, but I need to just also report on what the progress thereof was. This one, please. Yeah. And the next one. This one is just breakdown, so should be shown in one. The first one, then, Chairperson, is the PTEP. Chairperson will take note of the first slide that PTEP had about 60 million scopes for it for financial year. However, the allocation was revised to 13 million. For various reasons. The only payment that you made for the TM in this particular cycle was the maintenance of the version 1.1 at the forensic laboratory and not the development of the new 1F within the forensic environment because we could only make payments on those deliverables that were accepted by the outcome of the user accepted testing. We do the development must be right, must be according to the needs of the client, and the client must be happy with it. If the client is not happy with the outcome, and the outcome or the unhappiness of the client is in line with the specification, then it means the company or the developer did not develop according to spec, I cannot pay it off. this is the situation that is. You will find then that almost half of it was rerouted to other projects because of the projects that has then led to the CSIR evaluating on the whole development of PCM because there are technical unhappinesses between the developers as well as the users. Okay. The next slide, please. So maybe go back to the other one, and then let me put the other slide, the other one, this one. You will see then in this particular one, Chair, that there were a number of milestones that were to be reached. Among these was maintenance of the PCM. Another one was the configuration of the HEAT software that we to reconfigure with the newly developed PCM. So there are a number of other PCM issues that go with it. Amongst others are the RFID, the RI lane that General Patan was talking to, because it's all the integration that must happen around the PCM output. While the one solution is then developed to a particular finality, we don't wait for it to conclude before you begin the other processes. Integrations of those systems already begin with the ones that are already working. We could not include some of those because of those reasons that we can't develop in vain. You must know what you're developing around. Then you must also develop around the system that is found to be correct and working. So if the one doesn't work, it affects the deliverables on the other one. It's always a very dynamic process. Okay, the next one, Kevin, and the next one. This one is the DNA database development and network configuration. We already spoke a bit about it, so I'm going to pass on this one. It's only to be saying that the finalization of the labware as the software is what is only taking place now, which will then have impacted on the spend on labware as well as the database development in this particular financial year. So $9 million was moved over from this project as well. And then the next one. The detention management systems. Here you would also tell us from the notes provided that these are interesting figures that has happened. We had scope to pay nothing in this financial year in this respect because we had to also piggyback or ride onto correctional services in terms of their rollout detention management system in this aspect. But because of their issues also, if I would call them that, in terms of the detention, we couldn't finalize our area of piggybacking with them. You know, so unless that process within that, because they are the main users of the detention management system, it's almost like a track and play solution, but in this instance, not included, it's a person. But they are the ones that are utilizing it. We wanted in the area of it so that other than us spending $150 million, we could just spend $5 million to develop for the portion of stuff we would want to use for the whole itself. But their development in their process now impacts on this. But when we made a commission, the people that are also, there is a consultant that was appointed to assist with the scoping of it, who was paid out of the detention management system, this was an airline transaction. You would take note that in quota 1 and 2, we had reported 581 and 285, which was the amount that could have been scoped, the correct category of the work that was done by them. So, and while we were revising the plan, we had taken note of it and journal it to the place where it was supposed to actually happen. So we've got all the processes connected in this instance. So I didn't want to create an impression that there is work that was done on quota 1 or 2 or detention when it was just a general program that was to be connected in this space. But we've got all the necessary documentation and that's supposed to be required. The next one, please. And the next one. Item is almost the same, Chairperson. This is the first sign on one of the questions that was saying, you want to have a person with any access to the system, even just one area of entry into the computer, to avoid the borrowing of passwords, avoid having using password number 123 in this system, 456 in the other one, and all those many passwords that get to be locked in the process. So a must is to just integrate all the systems, find the single source of entry into our applicant system. It is the identity and access management system that is being developed. It's part of which is a system that is being considered. All other silo systems that are in the environment, a bigger development is going to be happening in that space. But the definition of the users, what needs to be done by the various environments, has already been defined. All that we could do for this process and this time around was to map and scope all the work, all the architectures that is needed, and just pay for what we could just do. So the $19 million that could have happened if we had a contract in place was redirected to first identify the correct architectures within the staff space before we can go ahead and integrate all the sign-ons. The next one, NPIS. Yeah, NPIS. NPIS was achieved, Chairperson. NPIS, the Medical Protection Emergency System, it was achieved. I've just read, those are easy, I'll just go through them, Chairperson, including the last scan. So that's the last scan, taking of fingerprints at the point that the person is arrested or at the point where it's to show currently to manual. But we have coupled this to the new ACES date. So that whatever system is developed, it is already part of what is integrated with our current ACES system. So this will be impacted by the progress in ACES. When ACES progresses, this one is also going to progress. And you will also see that we also have the same scenario for this for the traditional seamless system. The next one. The special recognition system, we take note that unlike the first one, at the CAS, you saw the facial compilation system. That one is when the complainant identifies the subject to say, yes, it's behaving look like this and so forth, so that then we can do kind of an identity. This one is a recognition system as a person appears. It's a kind of a database. You can see that, hey, that face looks like she's this. This is one of the things that is part of what needed within the last time. This process, where is it now? This one is revised for zero chair. The facial recognition system is part of the specification compilation. We can just go on to the next slide, please. We did not plan any deliverables for quarter four for the facial recognition system. Even the definitions of what actually needs to be achieved by other environments as well. To include home affairs, to include correctional studies. You know, so while we roll the system, it's not us with the facial recognition and them with the facial recognition. It's all of us, so all the consolidated needs. So this delays a bit of a running of a system. The other one, disaster risk identification. This one is the one that is used from the forensic environment for people like those that the Nigeria staff to recognize people that are involved in mass disasters. This has been finalized. The next one. And the next one. This one is the staff integrated booking. I'm now getting to the face of the questions that they asked in this instance about what was the question that was asked? How much to integrate in terms of the staff and so forth. Before the integration is done, you know, you've got to ensure that the platform in which the integration is going to occur is also made ready. So perhaps we can go on and talk to all those architectural issues and before we can go back to this one, if there will be any. The next one? And then this one. This one. Okay. This one, actually, the request for service. Chair, this one involves services like your ADLs, MC3s, all those actions required systems and so forth. This one is easy, it was achieved. I just need to go into the integration, so I'll move on to the next one. Maybe let me talk to the ICDMS, because Chair, one of the questions that we asked was, did you roll out the e-docket? If it is rolled out at all way in the e-docket, can this e-docket begin to work at some point? You know, this e-docket is going to work at some point. And in fact, we had reported in the past about our routing of funds. But maybe let me get to the space there. I'm going to first talk to you questions as they are in, so that I can show you the perspective from where I'm sitting, so we can be able to look nicely and see with me. But ICDMS, for the administrative process, all the questions that were lined up for the ICDMS, they were done, and voila. It's also part of the individualized presentation that is sent quarterly to the committee. Just ICDMS on its own and nothing else. Particular focus was also to be on the e-docket part. The next one, please. And the next one. Okay. Let's go back to the next, to the previous one, to this slide, on what has been achieved thus far on the ICDMS administer case. The ICDMS is for two phases. We had the administration part, phase one, as well as the investigate part two. Chairman, we've called that amongst other things that we raised by the committee on the ICDMS was the ability of the system to provide feedback to complainants at any point in the investigation. The administrative case part is only at the point where a person registers a case, a complainant, and the system generates an information to say, we have received your complaint, this is your case number, investigated by you. But that's where it ends. The next person will talk to, amongst others, in charge of the progression of the case, to say, now it's moving from this detective, it's going to court tomorrow, and so forth. But what we have achieved on the administrative case part of it is, if you look at second bullet in particular, is that we had rolled out almost 70 stations in quarter 4 alone. We have a presentation that is also sent to the committee as part of the quarterly feedback that shows the total role to this. That's why we've rolled out to about 571 stations on the administered case part of the ICDMS. With regard to the docket scanning solution part of it, we have rolled out to only 4 provinces today. Northwest, Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and Limpopo. And we will also be providing the statistic on all those rollouts on those processes. Earlier on, the Honourable Member asked, is it going to work at some point in time? At some point, we had said that we've got to get our network at the point that even when we roll out on the scanners for the ICDMS, we also don't crumble the cookies. We are not going to be taking all the capacity to the e-docket and let CAS itself fail and not all other green systems fail in addition because we've limited the traffic in terms of what systems can generate. But what we have done in the IDS project to cater for that utilization of the e-docket or the rollout of the scanning process, we had rerouted the funding to upgrading the facility because I can't be appearing to the committee every time I'm in this desk. What am I not going to do in this desk? We already moved on from the first hurdle. She could not advertise herself. We have reported that to the committee in March already. So, but in having advertised and having awarded, those stations that are a priority have now been targeted to upgrade their network and roll this e-docket, you know, so that we can begin to work on the e-docket system. So, but we have achieved 788 scanners that have already been procured. We have rolled out about 110, far less than those scanners yet to be utilized, only for capacity reasons of the network. No point that we continue to buy scanners, and I'm not collecting them. Before I connect them, I'll be told they are obsolete now, you know, so those are the dynamics.
Another example of the dependency challenges that we face. We can have, our RFPs for the scanners and all those type of issues. The NNUP program, we are highly dependent on it. Even to be allowed to do the limited procurement that we did, we had to slog, to plea, to ask, to say, the cap that you have put is so small, it doesn't move in tandem with the requirement that we have committed to deliver on. And even the permission that they gave us, they gave it to us at the 11th hour when the year was ending. So there are very serious challenges in terms of the connectedness of the work that we do. And the suggestion that has been made to sit maybe around the table to understand the problems in the government, maybe they have problems that they don't understand. Because, those dependencies are very debilitating on our budget staff.
That is a theme that runs through all the presentations, and I think we're going to get it right, I think, third week of June or second week to continue with this. I think we'll take the rest of your presentation. I think the members got a lot of questions, but we will continue then, and then also maybe get from the National Commission indication who is the role players. Apart from, CEDA must be also part of this discussion, because we as a portfolio committee, we must ensure that those blockages are get in out of the way, that the police can focus on their core business, and that's fighting crime. And, my concern is we can't leave it. We must deal with it. Okay. Thank you, General. General, see you again,
Gary. Thank you, Chair. Just the next one, please, Kevin. In the case part, we had the deliverables defined. If everything went on plan, we decided to investigate case, but it will go to court. Just to go to the previous one of the things that is also going to be additional to the report that we bring to the portfolio is the utilization of those scanners that we procure. In those patients that we have rolled out, we have connected to the network, we are also going to be managing the utilization rate thereof, because it will also tell us the payment that has been provided, does it go on with the utilization, and what is the real challenge now in terms of utilization of the tenants that have already been procured. While the upgrade of the networks also happens, we are going to connect the remainder of those tenants and also begin to monitor there that those utilization is happening. Currently, the environment is focused on training the users also on the e-dockets, those particular stations that where we focus the rollout, so that we begin to roll out the process. But I'm going to be buying scanners, Chair. I'm not going to buy in scanners until I have the confidence with this, the readiness of the network to be able to cater for it. But like the initial question already said, even with the process that we've embarked on, those stations where upgrades are going to be happening, I'm going to pay for it, we will ensure that the process runs. The next one, and the next one. This is the integration bus. This is a critical question that a member that asked this morning, Chair, this slide going forward. This is now the platform where, can I say, it's like old Altamu. When you go to Cape Town or Devon or US, we must buy old Altamu. You can't go past old Altamu. Even a bank must go there. Because even in Mama Land, in the Republic of Kenya, you have to go past over a Tambo to go international. I'm sure there's no direct flight yet. But SI Bus, it doesn't actually be in terms of the integration platform. We want to get over Tambo ready to be able to connect all the destinations of all the flights to all the other countries. Unless the countries are also ready to can join in. I can connect to them and connect with them. I will have all my space ready, but they must be ready too for me to be able to fly. That's the basic of what has happened now here. When we do the development in the service integration batch status, we can only do what is within the staff's mandate, but we also assisted, given the fact that we had hands on the transversal issues, to could assist the front development, the front end development of other departments or the end ones. They've got interesting technical names. I'm still a DNA expert of all these stuff that I'm still learning, Chair. But on this particular platform, given the scope of work that was done, we could not, having seen what was laid off, we were not going to finalize or expand on all the information unless all the departments were coming on board with this. While the IJS chairperson was going to be called also chair, among other things that will be important to discuss, are the delays anticipated from other environments in terms of these integration passes. Because at times you can't progress faster than your colleagues. You've got to be in the same space at the same time. But as they delay, and we've already done the work, by the time that they do the work, the new technology application, now you need to prevent your own. You know, so it is so that the project needs a strong hand. Okay, the next one. And the next one. I'm not going to talk about the real technical issues. This one, business-oriented architecture, is also a bit of a challenge even within the staff space. You would take so that amongst other challenges that PKM1X is having are the platforms from which Bandix was created in relation to what existed before within staff. So if the technical expertise are appointed and they're not considering how I look like before they put me on the diet, they might just put me on the wrong diet. Mm. So this is actually one of the issues that we had also prioritized on checking as I are with the expertise they have today. Tell me how I look. If you've told me how I look, then I know what diet to embark on. Must I lose weight or gain weight? So this is the process that is happening. We were not going to be spending on any of what was recommended unless the foundation was done right. This is the foundation right that is being assessed here. We have to reroute the funding. So in many of these instances at the IJS, other than developing on the platform from where you are, first understand what the nature of your foundation. Is your foundation built on sand? Is it built on rock? Is it built on stone? What is the type of foundation for you to be able to build forth? For you to be able to integrate with other environments. So it is a picture that we are checking on, you know, enterprise-wise to see where we are going with this other stuff. The next one. And the next one. These are the front and back developments. This one, okay, will take to those connection points between the different environments. If I have the fingerprint taken with the device that is at the transit, will I be able to go and via the the airport to go into correctional service to find out, is that person still in jail? Or this person was supposed to be there, why does it appear that now the person is there? So this is a development work that is happening in this line with the still criminal devices that is going on in there. Okay. This kind of a program management capacity, the chair, which we had done work on checking on all the work that I've been reporting to at this stage. And this is the answer. This is the one that I'm interviewing also, chair. It is said that we can continue with major projects in the IJS, but it is also good that the money is routed where it is supposed to go. Upgrade your network, get them functioning, so that we are reporting on the real issue and not blame the network. At times, it is important that we relate and separate the issues. I'm willing to come and say it is network. Maybe it is maybe not network. Yes, maybe it is network, I've identified, I scoped. But can I see if it is not the network? Could it be that there is also a bit of resistance to utilizing systems? I will not be able to prove it unless I still see that, yes, it could be a network that is a challenge. So the stages that we had sourced from many projects, we had consolidated them, we placed them under networks, we have identified those stations. As we see the upgrade is continuing, is going on, we shall be seeing a difference in terms of the utilization, at least what we have procured, not as that, before we expand on what we have procured. I think these are the last ones. The other ones are just the additional. This portion for SAPS, this one is just a transversal one. And this is the SAP program that is now interdepartmental that looks SAPS, we can't move on this one because this department and the other one are falling behind on each like this. You know, you've got to do this. This is a transversal thing that is being migrated now to justice. The chair will see from this financial year onwards, the allocation that was given to SAPS for IJS will now be routed to DOJ. But when we were given the allocation initially, I didn't know verify yet if it was already made because it was still within the SAPS vote. Okay. And this one also, the architecture, but also from the transversal space with the focus on what is being done capacity-wise, technical-wise, or design-wise, of what should happen, that happened correctly. And the infrastructure issues, and this is she's also chairperson from the ISF transversal operation and infrastructure point of view. All that was called for the transversal issues, what was to be done, we had managed to do it in each of those blocks. It will indicate what was supposed to have issues we had already done. And the next one, this one was also achieved in the capabilities development. And that was, thank you, Chair.
Right, thank you very much. I think the approach is we're going to take this committee. We're going to resume this presentation on the 10th of June. 10th of June. And then we're going to also, we'll use that opportunity for all the questions the members will have. But also then include CETA and the National Commissioner must please advise us what are the role players of the CJS is vital for this discussion proposed by Honourable Ramaphosa.
Sure, I think CETA indeed. Public Works, the Department of Justice in the form of the CJS, IJS Board, Chairperson, and I would say, CIPA, I was here, but maybe an observer and an exempt status, we'll get somebody from CSIR, internally from ourselves, TMS would be leading because we're looking at all these systems, and the internal consumers, being FSL, the detectives, this poll, we can just bring a person who is able to talk to those issues, GPCI and all those, so that if there are specific issues in terms of their own consumer space, those can be dealt with. But in chief, as we are saying, DOJ, the board, DPW for our facilities, CETA itself, and then CSIR.
Thank you for that. I think it's critical that we as committee, because we, you know, 1 year of the 5-year term is finished, and in terms of our oversight perspective and also time frames, we need to ensure that this environment is clean, in the sense of from an oversight perspective, some of the initiatives is not going to be implemented if the other role players don't come on board. So it's critical that we engage directly and also deal with the issues that was raised this morning. So thank you very much.
For extended dependency, we may well include Home Affairs.
Honourable Rapportani. I'm going to ask Home Affairs, I think National Commissioner has my mind. Yeah. Home Affairs was mentioned. But may I ask this, that when we're going to engage with this, we receive the document, the current non-restricted document. Because I suspect the one that we have are not restricted. That one we're presenting is restricted. Because it's not the same document. So if you could send us the one that you presented, because then we follow and we're getting better similar level.
Thank you very much to the National Commissioner team for the presentation and the input today. We look forward to the continuation of this discussion with the other holders on the 10th of June. Thank you very much. Members, if you can just stay behind, we definitely deal with that other document in the next 5 minutes. Thank you for everybody. Thank you, honourable members. We're going to members, we're going to be quite. I just want to indicate. Can just have some silence. Thank you. His colleagues yesterday afternoon, the MACO considered the amended strategic plan for the committee, because there's a new budget of parliament that's been approved, so we have to align that. Remember, we had that meeting in Bloemfontein in September last year. Now, this is update of that plan. Plus, at the end, we'll see the ATP of the committee. That's to say the specific activities. Now, the first and second quarter, we're almost through the second quarter. but we've made some amendments to the third and fourth quarter. The study, the proposed study due to late in October, and also to focus a lot in the third and fourth quarter on legislation, because all those legislation is going to hit us after the June leases. So you will also see the APP is really dealing with that. But just in terms of the document itself, colleagues will see it's very much the same strat plan format as the previous committee, but just to indicate in terms of the pages, page one deals with the vision, mission and oversight role. The oversight entities and of course the institutions we deal with. Page two deals with the tools that we use for oversight. The core objectives is pretty standard, as well as the core objective two and core objective three. On page three, core objective four deals with international relations, promote cooperation by five with other committees. Then, importantly for our strategic plan for the second part of the year, the legislation we're going to deal with on page three. One, two, three, four, five pieces of legislation. And then six deals with legislation referred to other committees. Then four deals with regulations that should come to us. And then specific policies for oversight in 2015. New policies. Indicated under police, also the white paper, and then in the sectorial oversight is the revamp that we had a bit of a bite of, and then border security on page 4. Page 5 deals then with the ongoing oversight priorities, the APPs, the budget allocations of the departments, the quarterly reports, audit findings, and also the DDA reports. The specific priorities in terms of our, if you analyze the reports that were tabled in the House of our committee on Monday, building professionalism of the SAPS, leadership stability, strengthening the CJS, that's the core issues for the rest of the year as well. And then additional priority areas, corruption and criminality in SAPS, improved firearms control, specialized units, rural safety, information technology, communication, violence against women, and of course the issue of internal audits. Then oversight, we've got to do Gauteng, Mpumalanga, Free State, Northern Cape. So if there's spots at the end of June, beginning of July, maybe we must look at those provinces. And please members, if there's specific hot spots you want us to visit, please indicate that early that we can put that into the program. Then also specialized units, we've already done the public order policing, EPCI we must spend some time on. Six deals with the civilians at the Secretariat. The basic issues on the oversight priorities, then the specific areas, the white paper on security, on safety and security, the research on demobilization that we asked for in the hearings. I think the ongoing oversight priorities on page six, and then the specific areas. Oversight visits also to IPR office and the issue of the audit committee and revision. CIRA, folks will also see most of the policy areas that we already identified in the initial hearing this year. And then improve cooperation of course with other committees. Administrative support is just to indicate what will be the role of the committee secretariat in terms of us executing the strategic plan. And then page 8 is also deadlines, progress, BRRR, departmental briefings, and those kind of matters. Then page 9 is really the APP itself. I think everybody is aware of the first term, what we did, it's all reflected there. Second term, we initially indicated that the last 3 days, sitting days of June will be used for legislation. That falls now away, so we can focus on, of course, today's issues and maybe further additions. And then, just to indicate, the third term is going to be really legislation, legislation, legislation on page 12, 13, 14, 15. The international study tour, I received the proposal from the researcher today, so that will go to Mr. Frank. Again, it's dependent, of course, on getting buy-in and funding, very importantly. And then priority 4 is again assessable if it will come to us, as well as the adjusted estimates.
We also felt that maybe last year we didn't give enough attention to the adjusted estimates. We must maybe scrutinize that very intensely, get also the audit committees here. You know, that we pick up, you know, maybe, you know, issues that we miss. And then 17 is again the annual reports of the different institutions. 18, yeah, and then, well, the animal movement and control vote seems will be the issue we will be ending the year or starting again in 2016. So, colleagues, that is in broad, the proposal from the NANCO. Legislation is, of course, seems going to be the major focus for the rest of the year. Honorable Robert Kline.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I did also read through the last night on this. I didn't find anything that needs to be amended. Would understand that it's also a living document. I think that we need to accept the document, the plan.
No, I think in that regard, I mean, it is indication for instance that one of the pieces of legislation will move to 26, and of course we will again come back to the committee and say, well, let's focus on this. Or if there's an event or something of public magnitude that will happen in the creating environment, of course we will come to the committee. So we'll do that. Thank you. But I think the important thing, it's a living document. You know, things will change, but we just want to ensure that members are aware of the folks in the areas. And of course, if there's an issue, if we must call the minister or whatever, or the heads of the institutions that calls, I will do that. Honourable Carabana.
Yes. I wondered if we could check up. SCOTA sometimes produces documents where they grill, whatever. I've been a bit lax. I haven't, but I don't know when they're sitting or have been sitting, or if they have a report on the SAT. And there was another entity that did their budget, but like last week, something, some SD in Parliament that has also oversight into various ministries. Yes, standing monitoring evaluation in the presidency. I wonder if we could maybe get those reports and what they have to say about the SAT. Might just give us a survey of that. Thank you.
So far it's included on page 19, but I think both of the institutions, IPAN as well as CAPS, haven't been to SCOPA for some time because of the fact that they're getting unqualified audits, and there's some major issues, but I mean we'll keep it close eye on SCOPA, and we'll also include in the monitoring and evaluation, MEP reports. So we'll do that. Thank you very much, colleagues. Good luck with your speeches on Friday. Yeah, you know, let's keep it cool. Thank you very much, and we'll meet again next Wednesday. Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. We got a light again. One lesson after the other from the honor members.
Is her vote number? Which one? That's and the interview on Friday. That's and the interview.
Friday.
Yeah.